All right, every file completely commercial free. If I can get just 500 monthly subscribers, every one of these shows can be offered to you guys completely commercial free. So, I'd appreciate it if you guys went to airamericaplace.com, click donate, and help make it possible. Thank you.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
All right, okay, good morning. I gotta swallow this piece of candy. Here we are, man. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings, wrestling fans, suckers, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, man, child, women, girls, blah.
My suckers, did you mean the entire 24-hour cable media?
No kidding, man.
Because they were suckers.
They slipped them. They suckered them, that's for sure. But, all right, here we are. Let me try and regroup, man. It's one of those foggy days. I was cutting back on the M&Ms, and I had to go get a pack of M&Ms just to get jammed.
You having a pill fixation is driving me nuts.
You're on some pills, and you don't like pills.
I don't like pills. I've never liked pills.
So now they got you taking some pills because you're at that age where you take pills.
Yeah, and it sucks.
How's the health coverage of it? Taking care of it?
More or less.
That's good.
But, you know, there's a part of me that says, later for the pills, I'll take my chances with death. But I'm serious. It's one of the. I hope my wife isn't listening because she'll flax at hearing something like that. But
come on, dude. What are they? A little blood pressure thing?
Blood pressure, cholesterol pills, babies, stinking aspirin. What's next?
Really? That sounds really difficult. You got to take 3 pills a day.
Yeah. Well, wow. For somebody that hasn't taken pills since the 70s and when they were 50 cents a pop on the street,
you're like me.
It's a whole different thing.
Yeah, if you're going to take a pill, you want to, that's the way my brain works, too. If I'm going to take a pill, something better happen in 20 minutes that's tangible, or else it's not worth taking.
Yeah. If I don't see colors, it's like, what? What?
If I don't feel relaxed, if I don't get jacked up, if I don't see colors, if I don't understand everything for a few hours, it's not worth it.
Yeah, it's not worth it. What's the point?
Right. Well, the point is we're prolonging your life, right?
Okay.
I'm all for it.
Okay. All right. Calm down.
Yeah, and I'm all for it. You know, what I got a problem with now is I was doing the sort of once a week cigar thing.
Mm.
Now, of course,
you've cut
every
back.
Day.
Oh, every day now?
Yeah. Now, of course, I leave work and I'm like, I wonder if I can go up and get. Like, I'm walking over to 47th Street to pick up these dumb cigars.
Over to JR?
Yeah, the thing about me is I think cigars look stupid, and it's hard to pull them off. I'm not necessarily a cigar fan, but I am a compulsive, addicted, completely obsessive person who used to smoke cigarettes, right?
Okay.
So now, I buy those little Punch, the J&R cigars. They're not little, they're Rothschilds. They pack a punch. And, I was smoking maybe one on a Saturday night to sort of take the edge off of the week as a treat. But now, of course, I'm going to J&R. I'm buying 6 to 10 at a time. All right. Around noon, I'll have the first one outside because it's fall and it's beautiful and it's nice to sit out and smoke a cigar. And then around 5 o'clock last night, I was like getting that itchy feeling like, the hell, what I mean?
Do another one.
I'm entitled to give myself.
I work hard every day.
Lip and throat cancer and make my teeth brown. I have the liberty to do that.
Well, they got whiteners to take care of the
thing is, I know that you inhale a little bit. And I know, as relaxing as it is, it's a sort of a nasty habit. Now I'm going to have to kick that. I know that.
I stopped last year. And it was just because I had started to spend too much time figuring out when and how to smoke cigars.
Dude, that's why I talked to Quinn about it. He's in the same hamster wheel.
Yeah.
Where, you start to plan your day around your vice. I mean, that's the way with any of them.
Yeah.
Cigars or cigarettes are relatively easy. You just got to go outside. I was thinking about the other day. I wonder, how much sort of worker productivity has gone down since they make people leave the building to smoke.
Oh, quite a bit. I really believe quite a bit. I think that there's been a lot of changes fundamentally in the way a city like New York functions.
But I also realized, because I've talked to people who have real jobs, that really, and even without smoking, people only do about an hour's worth of work a day. there's sort of a lot of sitting there emailing, downloading music,
watching internet porn?
No, you can't do that because I think a lot of these places monitor
people. Oh, yeah, they stop you from doing it. Well, you know what? You make an interesting point because the other day I was walking out of here, leaving, and I saw one of our people, the inner circle of staff, but one of the other staff people.
People that are here during the day?
Yeah, exactly. Normal folks.
Yeah.
But they hadn't even come in yet, but they were standing outside smoking a cigarette. And I said, wow, you know, this is a really different world here.
My wife's smoking again, and I really don't want to go back there. I'm too old for it. After a certain point, if you're 40 or older and you're smoking, you're just stupid. I mean, you're stupid because you're willing to, you know, I know that even though I've been off the butts for 4 years, it's going to be 4 years in January, I think. Is that right? Yeah, 4 years in January. I know that I might have already done the damage that's going to take me out.
Nah. It improves over time. They told me this when I stopped in 1990,
yeah.
14 years ago.
Yeah.
And they tell you that once you stop, your lungs kind of slowly but surely regenerate whatever damage may have incurred.
It's one of the few regrets I have in my life. It's such a stupid habit. I don't regret, almost anything else but that dumb smoking thing, because after a certain point, you're just doing it to get normal. You're just doing it to get well. You're just doing it to breathe every morning. I used to go to bed just like so excited that I would be able to drink, a pot of coffee and smoke 3 or 4 cigarettes when I woke up in the morning. I used to just be like, oh, man, in just a few hours I get to smoke cigarettes. I knew cats would wake up in the middle of the night to smoke cigarettes.
I was one of them.
You're
too young to remember the old Camel commercial that said, are you smoking more now but enjoying it less?
Yeah.
And I mean, it got to a point with me where I had like a 2-pack-a-day habit and I couldn't figure out anymore whether or not I really enjoyed doing it. You know what I'm saying? It really did become habit. For a long time, I deluded myself into believing, well, I'm just doing this because I really like to smoke.
Yeah, it's so wild. We were, where the hell was I, where they still let people smoke inside? I was somewhere recently. Where did I go?
Beirut?
No,
there's
no
place in the States that lets you do it.
Smoking. Philadelphia.
Oh, Philly, Pennsylvania. Yeah.
And they had smoking sections in restaurants still.
Yeah.
And like I had not. It's so weird that I was talking to Larson about this, to Clutch Larson. I was like, there was a time where everything must have smelled like cigarettes because everybody smoked everywhere.
Yeah.
People who didn't smoke had to deal with smokers, and smoke is such a distinct sort of staining, polluting thing that, every place, office buildings, every place must have stunk of cigarettes.
But you know what's funny? There's been such a sea change. Watch any television show from the late 50s to early 60s during that, quote, golden age of television.
Yeah.
And you will see cigarettes portrayed by leading characters. I watch Perry Mason every afternoon. Don't ask me why. It's a long story. But I watch Perry Mason. Now, Perry Mason was made probably between about 1956 and about the early mid-60s, right?
Yeah.
And Perry smoked in every other episode. Paul Drake smoked. Hamilton Burger, all of these characters, and I didn't find out until I was grown that several of them actually died of lung cancer.
It'll kill you. The outside chance that you won't die of that smoking-related disease. If you smoke, it's a genetic fluke, but they'll kill you.
What about secondhand smoke? Do you buy the secondhand smoke? Because there are a lot of people, including one very famous columnist in New York, who spends a lot of his time debunking the secondhand smoke thing.
Yeah, do I believe it? I'm sure it has some effect. I don't know. I think it probably has an effect on kids, especially if they grow up in an environment that's saturated with smoke.
Yeah.
But I don't know if in passing that it makes a big difference. It's annoying. And some people literally are very sensitive to it.
Yeah,
and
my wife is one.
Yeah, like an allergic reaction. I believe that. I don't know if it causes cancer if it's not a daily sort of exposure from childhood.
Now, one final quick question.
Just an opinion. Like, I'm talking like it's a medical sort of poll. My studies, I don't find it.
But now, your wife smokes, right?
Yeah.
Now, does that ever drive you to say, well, if she's doing it, what the hell? I might as well do it too because she's doing it.
Well, that's a standard addict ploy that we play with that we play with ourselves. No, I mean, some people like that.
Standard addict ploy. I like
right,
it.
That there's some part of your brain that's looking for an excuse, and if you can find a good one to let you engage in your addiction, do it. She's sort of like that. I think on some level, I'm jealous is what happens. It's like, I really don't want to go back to cigarettes, but I am smoking cigars, and when I'm around her, I feel like I should be entitled to something, but in my brain, I really don't want to smoke cigarettes. And she's hacking, And she's one of those people that will just jump at the opportunity to engage. Like, it's like, well, if you're doing it, but there is a jealousy there. It's like, why do you get to do this?
Well, you know, I went through a very similar experience the other day. I saw a couple, and the guy was smoking a cigar. Yeah. I think it was a fake Cohiba, because it didn't smell like a Cohiba, but it had a Cohiba band on it.
Yeah, see, I don't even want to get that involved.
Well, yeah. What was weird was, in mid-puff, he passed it to his girlfriend, and she smoked it.
Yeah, my wife.
And then I started thinking to myself, gee, if I was with a woman who smoked, I guess I'd probably still be doing this foolishness at this very moment. My wife has a very low tolerance for you know, tobacco smoke.
Oh, my wife is a warrior. My wife will just suck down, like, two or three packs of cigarettes a day. She's just like, she's got this Germanic constitution that just sort of processes everything. She's like a horse. You know, she'll just, and she'll smoke cigars.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, I think nicotine desensitizes you. I think it emotionally stifles you. It's literally, you're literally sucking down your emotions, and I think it numbs you to a certain degree.
You may have a point.
I think people are more vulnerable, and they're more sort of emotionally connected, and they're more just connected, you know, mentally connected. I mean, some people think that it juices you up, that it makes you think more clear, and I don't think so. I definitely think it
is. I think most of the drugs I've ever taken in my life, I thought made me think more clearly. I was wrong, but what the heck you can think.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know if it makes you think more clear, but it'll certainly speed up the process. Like, we got to speed it up here. Like, there's people out there going, what are they talking about?
Yeah. Why don't they talk about the issues?
Hey, tobacco is an issue,
for
pal.
For God's sakes, we're fighting for a breakfast here. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio. Oh, I'm sorry. I was blogging. Hey, check us out on morningsedition.com where you can blog, too.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka. It knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. Explain difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
Yes, sir. Yippee! How do we all see?
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. If you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
Are you sick and tired of your bathroom scale dictating your mood? If you're down a pound, great day, but watch out if you're up a pound or two or your clothes are a bit tighter. That is not a good day. If this sounds like you, then step off the scale and into the CortiSlim lifestyle by calling 800-921-BURN. You know CortiSlim people. You run into those CortiSlim show-offs constantly. You hear how great and physically fit they feel and how they're going shopping for new clothes. Well, CortiSlim people have learned that at least part of their weight issues are related to stress and hormones. CortiSlim people don't drive themselves nuts because they've learned the balance of exercise, nutrition, diet, and supplementation. If you're ready, step off the scale and into the CortiSlim lifestyle. Call now and get $20 off when you purchase 2 bottles of CortiSlim. $20 off 2 bottles. That's huge. Call 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
Now serving for the match, it's Jimmy Wang. Serves to Lee. Wang. Lee. Backhand by Wang. Lee. Wang, with a tremendous forehand, wins the World Series of Ping Pong. There's the World Series, and then there's the World Series. The season wraps up. For some, it's going to be a long, cold winter, but one team will call themselves world champs. The season wraps up on ESPN Radio, Sirius 120. Go to Sirius.com for the game broadcast schedule.
Has someone offended you? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. If a family member, friend, coworker, or even a boss has said or done something to upset you, what should you do? Tell other people? Well, no. You need to go to that person and gently let them know how they've hurt you. If they don't respond, bring along one or two other people and approach them again. In doing all this, be sure you're coming to them with clean hands, without any grudges of your own. When you work for unity in your relationships, you'll be amazed at the results. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's
1-800-956-8300.
Here's the 2-1.
Swing and a long one! It is! Hi, I'm Gary Bonds for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. In my league, we hit home runs without a designated hitter. But if you want to get home safe, there should always be a designated driver. So when you're with someone who is drinking, please take their keys. Call a cab or drive them home yourself, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
My opinion about the world counts, and I have something to say.
Young people today are acutely aware of the world around them. And optimists give these youth a chance to be heard through their Optimist Essay Contest.
I want to express my feelings, and I want the world to know what I think.
Our local optimists are giving young people that opportunity through the Optimist Essay Contest. Optimists, bringing out the best in kids.
There's something important you can do to help your child develop properly starting at birth. Have your baby's hearing tested and follow up on any advice you're given. It's easy, inexpensive, and can help you protect your child's ability to learn. For more information, contact the American Speech Language Hearing Association on the web at asha.org or call 1-800-638-8255. 1-800-638-8255.
Two past the hour. Let's pick it up. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
You're listening to Air America Radio, broadcasting live from the Elevated Bunker in New York City, the capital of the liberal elite. Someone tried to correct me. I said, isn't Hollywood the capital of the liberal elite? No.
No.
Oh, right here.
No.
Right here in New York City. That's you just playing you're just being you're. That's one of their talking points.
West Coast chauvinism, that's all it is.
So, man, I just want to say one last thing about addiction. I do feel bad for people who have never been addicted to anything, because they're the real losers.
They haven't lived.
They just don't know what it's like, Mark Riley, to really want something and get it again and again and again until they're sick and have to stop.
Yes.
That's passion.
Yes, it is.
I didn't quit doing drugs because I didn't enjoy them. I quit because I couldn't handle the commitment. All right.
Wow.
That's pretty deep, man. There's no way to segue.
There is a way to segue. You know why?
Addiction.
Because yellow cake sounds like a drug to me.
Yeah, yellow cake uranium. I'm sure that there was a heroin out there.
That was called yellow cake.
There had to be. They always name it after stuff like that. So it turns out that Cheney the other night, during the debate, says that he's actually going to let the UN deal with Iran, you know, contradicting what he was trying to criticize Kerry for, which was engaging the UN
in
making decisions about not even letting the UN make a decision, but to let the UN know when there was going to be an attack. And here he's going to let the UN deal with Iran, which clearly is much more of a threat than Iraq has ever been.
This is the amazing thing about this administration, Mark. They will attack people for being inconsistent. They will attack people for saying that there ought to be a global test, which is, by the way, not exactly what Kerry said. But now you're seeing a situation where this administration, as a means of trying to reconcile an extraordinary contradiction. In other words, we went to war with Iraq over weapons of mass destruction, while Iraq's neighbor, Iran, has weapons or has an ongoing program to develop weapons of mass destruction if they don't have them already, and yet we treat them differently. We're not talking right now about invading Iran, and Cheney says the reason why is because they want to take that problem before the same UN Security Council that his base despises. Let's hear from our vice president, and this, of course, is from the debate the other night.
We've got sanctions on Iran now. We may well want to go to the UN Security Council and ask for even tougher sanctions if they don't live up to their obligations under the initial, the International Atomic Energy Agency, a non-proliferation treaty. We've dealt with Iran differently than we have Iraq, partly because Iran has not yet, as Iraq did, violated 12 years of resolutions by the UN Security Council.
two references to the United Nations Security Council, that despised organization.
This is mind-blowing, though, because this new report, the DOFA report, about the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, all right, this the whole thing is mind-blowing because it really shows that since 1990 or so, they were completely incapacitated. They had nothing engaged. They had no leftover stockpiles. They barely, as it's depicted, that Hussein was barely hanging on, and he was trying to maintain the image. The sanctions were working. That they were, succeeded in isolating him. The only real weapons he was trying to create were to assassinate people within his own
thing. Within his own thing.
Right.
And he wanted to get rid of the sanctions. He didn't care about weapons of mass destruction.
Right, but he had to maintain the image that he was still a big, mean guy in terms of having the nuclear weapons because he was afraid Iran was going to flank him.
Yeah.
Right? And now that turns out to be very true, that Iran, it says here, is processing several tons, has processed several tons of raw yellowcake uranium to prepare for enrichment, which is a key step in developing atomic weapons.
Yeah, they turn it into gas somehow. They turn the yellowcake uranium, they turn into gas, which is then used to run the subterfuges or centrifuges, I'm sorry, that have the potential to create a nuclear bomb. The Iranians maintain they're not in the process of doing that their interest is experimental, not to create a bomb. But Mark, here's
experimental several tons.
Yes,
of yellow
several
cake.
Tons.
We're making Play-Doh figures out of it. We're running it to little moments.
Yes.
What is that?
But you know what's amazing? Iran is telling the world about this. Iran is not, they've taken the North Korean approach. Yeah, we got it. Yeah, yeah. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
You
so what do you think the angle is here? Because like I'm reading over these points from the DOFA report that Iraq had destroyed its illicit weapon stockpiles within months after the Persian Gulf War, 1991.
Mm-hmm.
Saddam's last secret factory, a biological weapons plant, was eliminated in 1996, and that was primarily to make drugs for assassination.
Yeah.
So this guy, he's depicted in this report as being incredibly paranoid, incredibly powerless in terms of how much might he had weapon-wise. But, as far as keeping a strong arm on creating a sort of a very fear-based administration, so to speak, that he had that. But he was really dead set on maintaining this image that he was a great leader, that he was well-fortified, and that history will remember him as a significant Arab leader like Hammurabi. Completely megalomaniacal, but it says, at the time of the American invasion, Iraq did not possess chemical or biological weapons, was not seeking to reconstitute its nuclear program, and was not making any active effort to gain those abilities.
And remember that this report by Charles Dofer echoes the report by David Kay, which the White House refused to endorse because Dofer was still trying to find the weapons.
Yeah.
Now, that's amazing. Now, there's two reports in a row. This is like 1,000 paper cuts to George W. Bush. And what he does, Mark, is extremely slick. He manages to deflect attention away from all these reports by not saying anything about them. He goes out on the stump and gets 50 minutes of uninterrupted FaceTime from all of the cable news networks to talk the traditional stump foolishness.
To slander Kerry.
Yeah!
That's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous.
So we're going to talk to this Dr. Barham. That's going to be very interesting.
Absolutely. When we come back, the president's palm pilot, the liberal agenda, and we talk to an expert about Iraq and its tribes when we continue here on Air America Radio.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
Now serving for the match, it's Jimmy Wang. Serves to Lee. Wang. Lee. Backhand by Wang. Lee.
Wang, with a tremendous forehand, wins the World Series of Ping Pong. There's the World Series, and then there's the World Series. The season wraps up. For some, it's going to be a long, cold winter, but one team will call themselves world champs. The season wraps up on ESPN Radio, Sirius 120. Go to Sirius.com for the game broadcast schedule.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Chad is getting a divorce and needs to know if he should keep the house. I'll help him after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Chad has some tough choices to make at a hard time.
Currently going through a divorce. My wife told me that she wasn't going to be paying on her mortgage anymore or the utilities or anything else. She's living with some guy now. Kind of put me in a bind.
How old are you guys?
I'm 24 and she's 20.
How long have you been married?
Under 2 years.
What do you make a year?
A little under 30.
And what's your house payment?
$860. That's including escrow.
What would you say the probability is of your marriage getting back together and her moving back in that home?
I just got served with the divorce papers this morning, actually. She's not. I've tried. She doesn't want to come back. And then, you know, like I said, she's with another guy now.
Let's sell the house.
Okay.
No reason to keep it.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You can't afford it.
Exactly.
It's going to bring you down. There's no point there. The only reason you could possibly consider keeping it is if you were trying to repair the marriage and the home was integrated into that emotional process.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Son, I want you to listen very carefully. Now, if you're ever at a party and someone asks you if you'd like to shove a stick of dynamite up your rear end, don't do it. Dynamite is very, very dangerous.
Got it, Dad.
It'd be nice if teenagers thought that using the drug ecstasy was as dangerous as, say, sticking dynamite up their rear ends. And that it can cause panic attacks, severe depression, kidney failure, heart failure, seizures, even death. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
I got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kids' principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
It's not often you can make a real difference in the lives of kids. When you volunteer as an optimist, you'll be helping kids take a positive turn in their lives. As their role model, mentor, leader, and friend, you'll help young people develop positive attitudes and approaches to life that will enable them to excel in school and in our community. So if you care about kids, give yourself a present by volunteering today. Optimists, bringing out the best in kids.
When it comes to food safety, experts stress that cold temperatures will keep harmful bacteria from growing or multiplying on food. Remember the 2-hour rule. Refrigerate or freeze perishables as soon as possible. And don't let food sit out at room temperature for more than 2 hours. Refrigerating foods quickly is one way you can give bacteria the cold shoulder. Brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Yo!
It's Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. That's what we're doing. All right, here we got it from Ramon. Like, did you even see him?
No.
Like, now, apparently now...
Was he here?
When he gave it to Clutch, and you know, he's like, I'm not talking to him. I don't know why he wouldn't be talking to us.
I think there was... Maybe it was something you said the other day, but
maybe
hey,
it's the, when I told him
he
that...
He still delivered the goods, right?
We're going to put him on a T-shirt. It just says, Where's Ramon on it? All right, here's the president's schedule for today. 6:30 a.m., wake up, stay on message. It's not what I am, it's what Kerry isn't. 9 a.m., practice with Kerry debate dummy. Tip off Drudge. There's a shocking sex video going around with the Kerry debate dummy and Willie Tyler and Lester.
Oh, no.
11 a.m.,
announce to the media I'm going to be giving another major address and to set aside at least 50 minutes for me to speak to the nation. Topic, I will be having lunch, possibly tuna. 3:20 p.m. Speaker rally, Wausau, Wisconsin. Counter Springsteen's Vote for Change tour with local group. Pete Malicki and the Polka Wildcats. Live! 5 p.m. On the way to St. Louis, take side trip to Philadelphia. Run up steps of Philadelphia Art Museum. Play Rocky theme. Bring film crew to use footage and campaign ads. 7 p.m. Go to St. Louis, Missouri for tomorrow's debates. Buy red Cardinals cap for town hall debates. Every little bit helps. 10 p.m. bedtime. Drive by Anheuser-Busch Brewery. Take deep breaths. Only 4 more weeks and no one will care. Yes. Now, this is going to be interesting because we've been talking a lot about Iraq, obviously, but a lot about... I'm going to get to ask some questions that I've been wondering about the tribal realities of what's going on there on the ground. Our guest is a professor of Middle East history at the University of Haifa in Israel, and until recently he was a senior fellow at the U.S. Institute of Peace in D.C. Good morning, Amatzia Baram. Dr. Baram, are you there?
Perfectly pronounced. Yes, Mark. Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, we talk a lot about Iraq, and I've been trying to figure out how much of the tribal politics has to do with the Iraqi National Guard inability or fear to fight against their own people. What do tribal connections have to do with that?
Well, this is only one aspect, but it's an important one. If you are recruiting National Guard guardsmen from a certain area, say from Fallujah or from the vicinity around Fallujah or around any town in Iraq, chances are that a large percentage of them will have their tribe in town or around town. In other words, they'll be expected to discipline their own tribesmen.
Right.
This is not very easy, and the only way to do it is to get very close to the tribal sheikh or to the sheikhly council and to do everything in consensus with them.
So there's like literally within the government of Iraq, there are tribal governments and there are family situations as well.
Yes, of course. You have it less. It's less so at the Iraqi present Iraqi interim government, but much more so in the local governments, in the provinces. Much more so in the countryside. Absolutely. You have to take it into account. It's a very important component.
Now, is there a sense that, I mean, I'm assuming that many of these tribal histories and these families have been around for probably hundreds of years. Is there a sense that they're just sort of biding their time until, you know, everything settles down and then they will rise up and create their regional governments?
No, I don't think so. That is more the way things may be in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
In Iraq, traditionally, you had a balance between the central government and the tribes or tribal units that was always in favor of the settler, of the central government. This mm-hmm. was since, let's say, since the second half of the 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's a danger. The only thing which is important to understand is that because tribes or what I would call tribal organizations, tribal groups, represent about, I don't know, 50% of the Iraqi population, mainly in the countryside, of course, almost exclusively, but a little bit in town. What you have to do is to try and hit a balance between the central government and the tribal groups. Without any doubt, this balance will be substantially in favor of the central government, and the tribes usually don't resent it. The tribes are looking to the central government as a provider. They need the central government. It's not true any longer, if it ever was true, that the tribes are the enemies of the state. Absolutely not. Certainly not in Iraq and in the Middle East. The tribes need state services and state help. And so if you work properly, I can say later what properly means, but if you work properly, both sides are quite happy.
Hmm.
Dr. Baram, can you give us an idea of the structure of these tribes and how they maintain their authority when so much of the infrastructure of the country and I'm assuming this is both in the cities and in the countryside, has been destroyed by war?
Well, surprisingly, not all that much was destroyed by the war. Much was destroyed by Saddam's policies during the last 20 years. The war has destroyed very little. You have the accumulation of the damage, yes, over the last 20 years, plus the war, a few wars. But this applies to all parts of Iraq, not only to the tribal areas. It applies to Baghdad in the first place. Baghdad, to a large extent, Basra, even more so, actually, Baghdad and Basra. And in the countryside, interestingly enough, the destruction, except for some areas near Amara and Kut, was not so deep. The point is that the tribes, let me put it this way, very simple. There is no one kind of organization that you can call a tribe in Iraq. There are at least 20 or 30 different tribal groupings, organizations, cohesions, and so on. The point is that they exist in a variety of ways. You know, it's very difficult to define what is a tribe today in Iraq, but when you see one, you know it's there. It's like nationalism.
Do they all wear the same shirts or something?
No, they are connected in political ways, mostly through common politics, like it's a political group. You might call it it's a countryside political group that claims, correctly or incorrectly, doesn't matter, that they are also bound by a blood relation.
Now, is this
also kin?
Are these the things, the political glue that holds a tribe together? Are they political in the sense that they have to do with almost what we have districts here, that they're representatives for certain needs of the,
yes,
of the people,
yes,
and of the city?
Yes, I think a very good example is the American example.
Mm-hmm.
You might call the state of Virginia a tribe if you wish.
Mm.
It's not as cohesive and as closely knit as an Iraqi tribe, but even an Iraqi tribe is not always very closely knit. The point is, yes, each tribal group has its own economic and the security interests. And if the sheikh is a genuine sheikh, not imposed by Saddam, his job is to try and provide for the tribe. For example, in the most countryside areas, you need water for irrigation in Iraq, especially in the south. The water comes from the river and from canals and the pumps and so on. The government is the provider. The government is the arbiter, because sometimes I want more and my neighboring tribes want something at my expense. So you have economic interests. You have also security. You have also issues of land. Whom does it belong to? Many problems of land ownership in Iraq today. So, yes, it's a political group which usually also sees itself as an extended family. And again, there are huge tribal federations that number something like 2 to 3 million people.
Yeah.
And of course, that's hardly a tribe. That's almost a state. But within that, you have much, much smaller units, and these are the real political tribal units that you have to address.
Okay, and after we come back from this break, Dr. Barham, I want to talk about, what is the structure of a tribe, where does the cleric fit in, and where do these tribes fit in to the insurgency and also to the resistance or the fight against the insurgency, if you will. So we'll be right back after this. It's 43 past the hour on Air America Radio.
I'm Tim Robbins. It's time to wake up with Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
We're fighting for our lives here!
Crimes Against Nature, a new book by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., sets the record straight on George W. Bush, corporate greed, and the plunder of America. Crimes Against Nature makes the case that the administration has taken corporate cronyism to unprecedented heights, threatening our health, our national security, and our democracy. Al Franken calls Crimes Against Nature a passionate and devastatingly written attack on the Bush administration. Crimes Against Nature, the national bestseller by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a HarperCollins book, now available at bookstores and online at airamericaradio.com.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it has been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
If you're in sales and aren't using WebEx, you could be losing money. Big money. With WebEx, the leader in web meetings, you get the interactivity of face-to-face meetings without the hassle and expense of flying or driving. And because WebEx meetings are so convenient, you'll make more sales presentations, which means bigger commissions for you. Go to WebEx.com for a 14-day free trial to see how powerful a WebEx sales meeting can be. Be where you need to be with WebEx meetings. Get started with a 14-day free trial. That's WebEx.com.
Hi, honey, I'm home.
What do you mean I'm fat?
I didn't say that.
I'm tired of your attitude. You're always putting me down.
I never said you were fat. I just got...
See? You said I was fat again.
No, you said you were fat.
Some things aren't worth debating. Some things are. Live presidential debate coverage and reaction. Friday night on Sirius Right 142, Left 143, Air America 144, and Sirius NPR Now 106.
Honey?
Shut up.
Want to get your child fired up about playing a sport? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. My wife taught me that it's not a good idea to push your kids into sports. Instead, do things to get them interested. Take them to a tennis match or a baseball game. Then, give them a book or magazine on the sport. Maybe even check out a video from the library. Get excited about the sport yourself and let them enjoy the overall experience. For ideas on how to keep your kids motivated once they do get involved with sports, go to FamilyMinute.net for a free information sheet. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
We waste a lot of energy and money. Producing that energy consumes valuable resources and creates pollution. You can help by lowering your thermostat in winter and raising it in summer. Have your furnace and air conditioner serviced and cleaned. Turn your water heater down to 120 to 140 degrees. And check your refrigerator for leaky gaskets around the doors. Caulk, weather strip, and insulate walls, attics, basements, windows, doors, and pipes. These energy conservation tips are brought to you by the National Wildlife Federation.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you're fine. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Shelly, get away!
Play with them, dear. Hornets hate high-pitched noises. Yeah, try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Now, knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
I can't see! Are they biting me?
Oh, that's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Our guest is Dr. Amatzia Barham. He is a professor of Middle East history at the University of Haifa in Israel, and until recently senior fellow at the U.S. Institute of Peace in Washington, D.C. My question before we went on break is essentially, what is the tribal structure? What is an authentic sheikh, a sheikh that is an authentic, and where do clerics fit in, and how does this, how does it fit into what they're calling the insurgency now?
Well, we have today a very difficult situation. Usually a sheikh or sheikh, as you really the Arabic word is sheikh, is a genuine sheikh, is a very important personality in the tribe. The tribe needs an effective sheikh because he is a mediator, he is an arbiter. You cannot be an arbiter unless you are really respected by all and regarded as impartial. So he has to be that. And he is the chief negotiator or the chief, he's a foreign minister. He's not only the prime, he's also the foreign minister. He's negotiating with the government, you know, what the tribe can get from the government. Financial support, lands, water, jobs. In the region where the tribe is at large, and if tribal young men go to Baghdad, they need some jobs in the capital city, and if the sheikh has got good connections with the government, well, he provides it. So the sheikh is very powerful and a genuine one, and highly respected, and he's a necessary personality. The tribe cannot do without the sheikh. Okay. Today, it's a very difficult situation. The sheikhs are in competition with the clerics. The clerics, especially in the Sunni Arab triangle, in the countryside between Baghdad and the Jordanian border, west of Baghdad, which we call the no man's land, this kind of battlefield between the American forces and the insurgency, the sheikhs, I would say, by and large, are inclined to be more accommodating. They are pragmatic people, practical people. They are looking for the good of their tribe, and they need the government. The clerics, not all of them, but certainly half of them or so, are very radical. They are not accountable to anybody, only to God. They have a lot of power today because of an Islamization process, a religiosity wave that goes now over these parts of Iraq, and they are competing with the local sheikhs over prestige and leadership.
Is it easier?
In addition, the sheikhs are in competition today with the younger generation, some of whom are forming fighting units and are accountable to nobody.
But is it easier for this religiosity and this Islamic wave to take root, given that, you know, some of the economic structures of the country have been dismantled, jobs are not forthcoming, the sheikhs are no longer able to represent their people on an economic level because so much of the infrastructure is shattered, that the religiosity is becoming a mobilizing force in the insurgency?
The destruction of the infrastructure is not such a big problem in the countryside, especially in the area between Baghdad and Jordan, where you have most of the insurgency. The main problem there is that many, many young men have been released from the army without salaries, or with very small salaries, and they lost honor, they lost respect, they lost a job, a very lucrative job, and they're angry. Also, don't forget, the Sunni Arab population of Iraq was in hegemony in the state since 1920-1921. Now, when Iraq is becoming at least more democratic, the majority, and they are the Sunni Arabs are a minority, between 15% and 18% or so. The majority now is having the upper hand. The majority are the Shia. The Shia are a bit more than 50%. And so for the Sunni Arabs, who were, I would call, the hegemonic minority in Iraq until now, this is also to a great extent humiliation. They are being humiliated. So, yes, there is a lot of pent-up anger in the Sunni Arab areas, especially in the countryside, and these guys, released from the army, no status and so on, are also capable of using weapons. So, yes, that makes the job of the tribal sheikh very difficult, and that's where the central government has to step in very substantially and provide not so much infrastructure. That's mainly in the south that the problem is, and in Baghdad. But jobs, respect, political participation, a sense that they were not now becoming a downtrodden minority. Yes, that's very important, and that's where the tribal sheikh needs a lot of government support.
But Dr. Baran, when you look at where the money's going, at least in terms of the money that's coming from the United States, a lot of it is going into security. Are these young men prepared to take up arms and fight against the insurgents because that's where the jobs are?
Not before there is a political arrangement, a new political power-sharing agreement, which we don't see yet. It will take 2 to 3 years to reach that spot, if everything goes well. But you have other options. You have other options. First of all, you can hire young men in these tribal areas to guard installations. For example, between Mosul and Baghdad, you have a lot of oil pipelines that need guarding. If you hire them as guards, you do it through the sheikh, but you pay them directly, not the sheikh. You don't want to make the sheikh rich or affluent, or that's not a good idea. That's what Saddam used to do. But you use the sheikh as a mediating authority, and you pay them a nice salary for guarding a certain section of the oil pipeline. Just an example. They will be very effective once they realize they're being paid well, and if they're not guarding the pipeline, they'll be fired. They'll lose a job. So you have to approach it on the local level, like each tribe separately, each group separately, and try and work out with them a new system. Some of them will join the army eventually, yes, but most of them probably won't. So they have to be hired as guards. You have another problem in Iraq, which is very serious, as the borders are absolutely porous. You hire some of these guys to be border guards. They know their area extremely well, in the south against Iranian infiltration, in the north against Syrian.
Mm-hmm.
And you pay them good salary, and that's a good chance that they'll join you, yes?
It sounds good. It sounds like some of the similar problems we have here. We need to create jobs for people, or else they're going to get, you know, disenfranchised and angry. I really appreciate your input. It was great talking, very informative, Dr. Baran. I hope to talk to you again.
Take care.
My pleasure, Martin Mark.
Okay, bye-bye. Wow, that really, you know, that was one of those guests where he was great. And, you know, you get to that point where you're like, oh, my God, you know, he can talk about anything, you know. But it's very interesting that it's a job issue for a lot of these guys, and that the local sheikhs are not unlike congressmen in terms of, you know, creating, you know, jobs for their constituents and in their districts and lobbying for things. I had no idea about this stuff. Maybe I'm naive.
But what was interesting to me, Mark, was that he differentiated among some of the tribes and said that the tribes, I think contrary to popular opinion, do to some extent depend on the central government for some of their authority and certainly some of their finance.
Oh, yeah, and religion plays a similar part there as it does here. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Here's the liberal agenda for today. Get ready. Write them down. One, figure out ways to smuggle shiny object. Oh, wait. Figure out a way to smuggle shiny object into debate hall as a way to distract Bush. Look. Two, send care package of amphetamines to keep Iraqi insurgents alert on the job. Call Hell's Angels. Three, call debate moderator Charles Gibson. Suggest that instead of a final question, the candidates should compete in a poetry slam about the NAFTA trade agreement. Four, develop a new fragrance for men, Fahrenheit by Michael Moore. It smells like conspiracy. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Why are they wasting their time looking for weapons of mass destruction? We've had an entire alien colony living in Area 51 since 1949. Why don't they report that, man?
Coming up in the next hour of Morning Tradition, Iraq, birth of a nation. You on the telephones, Rapture Watch, The Dream Diary of Marin. What you got going on?
Let's take down the blow monkey again at the top of the hour.
All right, all on Air America Radio.
Here's an important food safety rule to keep in mind. It takes thorough cooking to kill harmful bacteria. Check your food for doneness, especially meat and poultry, with a food thermometer. Because food safety is important. Don't take chances. Cooking food thoroughly is a simple way to keep you and your family healthy. Brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
In the
the 2000 election, only 51% of Americans eligible to vote actually cast a ballot. 24% of Americans weren't even registered to vote at all. And until recently, I was one of them. Then a friend told me about JustVote.org, a nonprofit organization with a fast and easy way to register online. Go to JustVote.org, enter your zip code, and follow the simple instructions. You can also find your local polling place, tell a friend about JustVote.org, and donate money to help get more people registered. It's our democracy. Let's make it work. JustVote.org.
Old way.
And hearing a great deal about frequency modulation. The new high fidelity.
New way.
Superior sound resolution with S-Plex technology. Sirius, it's on.
America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilbert. There's a growing difficulty on how to gauge fact from fiction from the White House these days. Earlier this week, the Bush White House billed yesterday's speech by the president as a major administration address on policy with respect to terrorism and the economy. From all indications, it was a campaign stump speech, squarely aided to John Kerry 2 days before their next debate. Today, all the major dailies are reporting the findings of the Charles Duffer Report, a final judgment about Iraq and its weapons. The 1,000-page document clearly shows Saddam Hussein destroyed the nation's illicit weapons stockpiles within months of the Persian Gulf War back in 1991. Report further concluded that such weapons had significantly eroded by the time of the American invasion of 2003. West Virginia Democratic Senator John D. Rockefeller referred to the report by Dahlfer as devastating an account. Rockefeller says the administration would like the American people to believe Saddam Hussein intended to build a weapons program when, in fact, the Bush administration invaded the country. Thousands of people have died, and Iraq never posed a grave or growing danger at all. John Edwards yesterday responded to the so-called policy speech by President Bush pretty much the way most media people deemed it. Vice presidential candidate, fresh from his debate in Cleveland, defined the Bush speech as more of the same.
The president gave a speech which was billed as his plan and new ideas on the war on terrorism and the economy. Of course, what it's filled with are old ideas and attacks. And they give these speeches in front of friendly audiences for a reason, because they cannot defend their record.
John Edwards during a campaign stop in Florida yesterday. The House of Representatives has voted to lengthen health care benefits for members of the military reserves, a move recognizing that tours of duty are becoming longer and longer. The House voted to increase the amount of time that reservists can continue their employer-sponsored health plans. Those plans now cover reservists for 18 months, but the House approved increasing the coverage to a total of 2 years. Vote came early this morning, sometime after midnight. Not everyone is happy with the bill. The head of the House Veterans Committee says the proposal should have helped with baby care for female veterans who do not have other health insurance. Overall proposal now heads to the U.S. Senate. Senate yesterday forged ahead to fulfill an election year promise by giving the green light to a massive reorganization of the U.S. intelligence network. Senate version of the bill includes some recommendations of the 9/11 Commission that had been suggested after the discovery of widespread failures, but the House version, consisting of more anti-terrorism and illegal immigration powers, could slow the process down of getting the needed changes to President Bush before the election. Senate legislation calls for the creation of a National Counterterrorism Center and the position of a National Intelligence Director who would oversee most of the nation's non-military intelligence agencies. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
For the next few weeks, every water cooler conversation is going to be about the election. Even though you're Mr. or Ms. Liberal, don't let Mary from accounting blindside you with her Republican diatribe.
Mary from accounting.
Get the facts and get the feel for what the right is saying. Laura Ingraham, she's savvy.
Savvy.
She's sharp, even though she swings to the other side.
Laura.
9 a.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific.
Ingraham.
On Sirius Patriot 141.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Ashley wants to clean up his credit. I'll show him how to do it after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Ashley emails wanting help cleaning his credit. How does one go about establishing a good credit rating once they have a bad rating due to credit card use in college that could not be dealt with at the time? The first thing you've got to do is go back and clean up those bad debts. Call one of them once you have some money saved, settle with that one or pay them, and get in writing that it's settled and get it reported to the credit bureau that the bad debt has now been settled or been made good. Once you have done that, that entry on your credit bureau report will remain there for 7 years, but it will not count against you for purposes of buying a home, but about 3 or 4 years. So you need to do that as your very first step. You've got to clean up the bad debt that you've got back there and then let some time elapse. Do not go and borrow money to, quote, build your credit. That is one of the great lies passed around in our culture today. This is what a lot of people do, and they end up with high interest rates and getting ripped off.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah. Well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition. Okay, here we go. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings, philosopher queens, man children, women girls, lovers of nostalgia, people who have incense, people who enjoy Indian bread. You know who you are.
I love Indian bread.
I'd like to say hi to the global lesbian community. Good morning. And all my gay friends. How are you? Nice to see you. Well, George Bush, the, of course, smug, belligerent, faux Christian, AWOL, blow monkey puppet of the Cheney regime's Republican neocon death cult, suckered CNN and all the basic cable news outlets into thinking that he was going to give an important policy speech, but instead he just got up there and sort of like, you know, reprised his role as Karl Rove's man-sized penis, which is sort of, you know, that's what he does. Because Karl Rove is, I think, you know, I just judging by his character, is a very brilliant evil man with a very short weenie. And he literally sees, I think, he sat apparently in the third row.
Yeah.
Where was it, in Michigan?
No, it was in, Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah, where he just sat in the third row and just, I think sometimes he just literally visualizes George Bush is being just an extension out of his pants. He just says, look at him, that's my penis puppet. Look at George Bush is Karl Rove's penis puppet. He literally feels like, have you ever had that moment where you're standing on an overpass and a train comes underneath and you just stand there and you have that flash of like, wow, imagine if that was my penis. And it just like goes, and it's like, oh my God, what a powerful feeling that is. And then you got to check yourself because you're like, wow, that was weird. I got to get something to eat. Well, yeah. I think that really, I mean, literally, I think, you know, Karl Rove, when he's not thinking of George Bush as his gay lover, I think he literally sits there and sees George Bush as this large man-sized, you know, penis that's able to pound a podium and say exactly what he tells him to do. That's a penis puppet.
So now you've called Karl Rove gay.
No, repressed. I don't think he's gay. I think he's a latent homosexual with a George Bush fixation. And and when he's not sitting there figuring out what to make come out of his man-sized penis's mouth,
He literally says, "Oh my God!" Like they're both such narcissists, and you know narcissism on some level, there's part of it that's one step away from paranoid schizophrenia in the sense that people who can't tell the difference between themselves and objects. Like there are some people that are so crazy that literally think that chair is just my arm. And I think that there are moments where that all that sanity breaks down in Karl Rove's head, and he's like, "Look, my penis is leading the country again."
But the sad part, Mark, it works. It's working. The guy is the president, for God's sake.
But it's not working. You see what's going on is all they're doing is preaching to the converted. They're tightening up their base. They're playing for laughs. They've got stacked houses he doesn't need facts anymore to back him out. He back him up. He just have these rooms full of like brainwashed, moronic, myopic man children and their sort of bitter, turned out, codependent, she demon wives screaming, four more years, just to sort of like, it's a break from screaming at their kids, that their spouses, that their the bitterness that pervades their life that they can't explain because they're not diligent enough to get the truth.
How about in an area like Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, it would seem to me the chant would be four more jobs, because that's a place that's lost a lot of jobs over the years. I mean, this is a big manufacturing area. This is, they have a coal mine museum in that part of the country.
But he's enacting their anger. I mean, it seems to me that not unlike the delusional Christian right, who are willing to overlook the economic realities of their lives because as victims of Republican policy.
Yeah, because they're against gay marriage.
Yeah, exactly. The wedge issues is that, what George Bush did, and we can play the ad in a second, is he went there and he manifested their anger in a way that made them feel satisfied. Can we hear that ad, Chris?
George W. Bush, world leader, fighter jet pilot, and comedian, is taking his act on the road. It's George W. Bush, the major foreign policy address, raw and uncut, live from the Wilkes-Barre Laugh Shack.
America saw two very different visions of our country. Two different heritages.
Here the president reprised some of his most famous routines.
He said terrorists are pouring across the Iraqi border. You hear all that and you understand why somebody would make a face.
Plus, he'll break open some brand new material.
My opponent has become the single most liberal member of the Senate. Might even say it was hard work.
You'll laugh your way to the voting booth. It's George W. Bush, live from the Wilkes-Barre Laugh Shack.
I understand how comedy works, and if you're not putting anything informative in comedy, you're not making people question anything, you're just slandering somebody, all you're doing is being defensive. What I'm seeing here is an administration that's got nothing to run on, and the only thing they're doing is they're doing what they accuse Kerry of doing, which is watching the polls and giving the people what they want. They realize that the only place they have a slight edge over Kerry is on terror. So what he's doing is he's slandering Kerry, he's slamming him in a very dozen sort of way in a room full of the converted, without the obstacle of having to engage with Kerry, and he's just, I think they're on the ropes, and this is a very defensive lashing out in the form of a comedy show.
I think you're right, but Mark, the sad part to me is that the media in this case went for it. Yeah, it's okay to say, all right, they went for it when the White House first said, well, this is going to be a major policy address. And I think in a couple of cases, they were even talking about what it was going to be a major policy address on.
Yeah.
But the fact is that when they realized they were snookered, they should have reacted to it, and they didn't. Imagine what would have happened if the Kerry campaign had pulled the same stunt, told MSNBC and Fox News and the rest of you, John Kerry's going to make a major address, and then he had gone and done nothing but slam Bush for 50 minutes. This was contrived, it was well organized, and it was done very, very purposefully. And because it's that bridge between the debates.
Yeah.
This is the run-up to the second debate.
But do you think, Mark Riley, that if they were to address it like that, that it would deter, it would create some obstacles in getting to the debate? Don't you think that on some level, Kerry's just sort of like, wait till Friday. It's a town hall situation. Bush can't stack the audience, all right? So if there are Bush supporters in the audience, and they're spread out in the audience, and they start doing that, boo, that sort of like, seventh grade, just completely infantile behavior of a bunch of sheep, just immature, pawns.
Are they going to let them? Applaud?
I hope so, because then they'll look uncomfortable. Because there's going to be just as many people in there that are there to listen to the future president and the ex president. Talk. and address issues. So if these children, these men and women children, are sitting there going, boo, four more years, you know, that they will look like the idiots that they are, and people in the audience will be like, please, could you act like a person? Could you act like a civilized grown-up while these two men talk about the future of the world?
But, Mark, what he did yesterday, and again, this is why, from a purely political standpoint, it was great political theater. He did not have to deal with the Dulfer Report. He didn't have to deal with the fact that his own defense secretary undercut his position on Iraq. He didn't have to deal with any of this bad news that's coming from the Middle East. All he had to do was slam John Kerry, and the media carried it for a news cycle and a half so far. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they carried the Dulfer stuff and the rest of that, but nobody was in a position when it was all said and done to ask Bush. And I'm assuming Kerry will do this on Friday, but it should have been done by the media yesterday. Wait a minute, how in the world can you get up here and say all of this when day after day, hour after hour, there's bad news? Dulfer was before the House Armed Services Committee and the Senate Intelligence Committee yesterday.
But that's just it. He's talking to a room full of monkeys. I mean, these people don't care. They were there for a show. Listen to it. People who care about the Dulfer Report or about the truth at all don't go, boo. I mean, what is that? I mean, is that, you know, I mean, this is the president who is doing basically a stand-up routine for people that don't even have that are incapable of entertaining more than one idea at a time.
Well, yeah, because what they're doing, you know, when the media covers it as presidential zingers, it seems to me that's an oxymoron.
I think
presidents don't do zingers. Look, they do policies.
I think Kerry did the right thing. I think he's just going to lay low till Friday. And I think that, you know, if Bush starts that crap again, what will happen is that it will look exactly like he did on the first debate. He'll be delivering jokes to dead air. He will try to charm a 50%, you know, sophisticated audience who would rather be spoken to as adults and not children, and, you know, and not just, you know, play on their worst, you know, fears. I mean, I think it was the right thing to do, and I think that, you know, Kerry's going to – there's no way that Bush can take on Kerry on the same playing field.
Well, no, not when there's a 1,000-page report that essentially undercuts all of Bush's existing reasons for going to war with Iraq. Not just one, not a half, all of it.
Yeah, and with Bremer and Rumsfeld, you know, all these guys who are on his team, you know, saying basically that the Iraq war
was
a sham. Yeah. We'll get into a little of that. We'll also talk about that sort of horrifying possibilities of the abortion, you know, legislation.
Ooh.
Yeah, 16 past the hour. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
Are you sick and tired of your bathroom scale dictating your mood? If you're down a pound, great day. But watch out if you're up a pound or two, or your clothes get a bit tighter. That is not a good day. If this sounds like you, then I urge you to step off the scale and into the CortiSlim lifestyle by calling 800-921-BURN. You know CortiSlim people. You run into those CortiSlim show-offs constantly. You hear how great and physically fit they feel and how they're going shopping for new clothes. Well, CortiSlim people have learned that at least part of their weight issues are related to stress and hormones. CortiSlim people don't drive themselves nuts because they've learned the balance of exercise, nutrition, diet, and supplementation. If you're ready, step off the scale and into the CortiSlim lifestyle.
Call now and get $20 off when you purchase two bottles of CortiSlim. $20 off two bottles. That's huge. Call 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka. It knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
That's right. Yippee! I'm going on TV.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel.
together again.
Join us October 11th for the Vote for Change concert, live from D.C. with Springsteen, R.E.M., the Dixie Chicks, the Dave Matthews Band, John Mellencamp, and a slew of others. It's 4 hours of great music and a chance to show your support for John Kerry. And, well, if you're a righty, turn it up for the music and just turn it down between the songs. The Vote for Change concert, Monday the 11th at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Spectrum 18.
Has someone offended you? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. If a family member, friend, coworker, or even a boss has said or done something to upset you, what should you do? Tell other people? Well, no. You need to go to that person and gently let them know how they've hurt you. If they don't respond, bring along one or two other people and approach them again. In doing all this, be sure you're coming to them with clean hands, without any grudges of your own. When you work for unity in your relationships, you'll be amazed at the results. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to familyminute.net. That's familyminute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get them, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from...
The cat!
The cat. Oh, and the neighbor's new car!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Studies show that over time, anabolic steroids can indeed take a heavy toll on a person's health. Abuse of oral or injectable steroids is associated with increased risk for severe liver problems, including hepatic cancer. People who share needles or use non-sterile injection techniques can also put themselves at risk for contracting dangerous infections. For more information about the harmful effects of anabolic steroids, please go to drugabuse.gov.
Easily misunderstood voices on the radio can be. The strange things that people sort of impose on what comes out of the speaker. You know, yeah, I check in the blog for 2 seconds and there's somebody going, hey, don't make Karl Rove the homosexual's responsibility. You know, you guys take responsibility for them. What I was saying is that latent homosexuality causes a mutation of the spirit that is very destructive and has been throughout history. I think that you could probably trace a lot of some of the greatest, most destructive people, the most evil people. I think that if you were to do a psychoanalysis of them, that latent homosexuality and the pain and anguish that comes from not being able to realize yourself in its full sort of, you know, for who you are, causes such a tremendous amount of hostility and violence and
examples. J. Edgar Hoover, yeah. Roy Cohn.
Great. Those are actually great examples. Let me do my dream diary because I'm going to the therapist today. By the way, I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. This is Morning's Edition.
Yep.
Nice to have you. I'm a wrestler. And I'm standing in the middle of a 30-foot-high, completely escape-proof titanium cage rimmed with razor wire. I got on a purple hood, purple tights, purple boots, and a shiny gold cape, which I hold out for everyone to see. There are 4 stray cats sewn on it in orange sequins. Plus, I'm a lot bigger than usual and hairier and in the weirdest places. I don't want to go into it. No, I'm not. The place is mobbed and the fans are chanting, Mark, 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 Mark. Standing in the other corner is my opponent, this scrawny little neocon wearing a red, white, and blue vest and a pinwheel beanie. In his squeaky helium voice, he says, you want a piece of me, huh?
Do you, tough guy? You think one bad debate's gonna keep W out of the White House?
This gets me steamed, and I stomp toward him, and I grab him with both hands by the throat, and I roar, roar! The crowd goes wild, but the neocon slips right through my fingers like sand through an hourglass. Furious! I turn around and around looking for him. When I spot him, only there's two of them now. And then they're both laughing at me. Suddenly he morphs into four of him, then eight, then 16, then 32, then 64 identical ditto heads laughing. So now basically I'm screwed. The little bastards join together and pick me up and spin me around, then 16 of them climb the cage and dive down onto my head, chest, and nads. I'm heaving and sweating, and my purple tights are ripped, and I scream at the top of my lungs, "We've lost 1.6 million net jobs and 2.7 million net manufacturing jobs under Bush!" And just like that, two of them blow up like a puff pastry and explode into a stinking orange goo all over the stage. I like where this is going, so I shout, "Bush is the first president in 70 years to lose jobs!" Two more pop. I go on. 4 million more people live in poverty and 5 million have lost their health insurance. The average annual premium has risen by $3,500. We've gone from $5 trillion surplus to a $3 trillion debt. A multimillionaire sitting by a swimming pool pays a lower tax rate than a soldier in Iraq. Bush has underfunded No Child Left Behind by $27 billion. After a volley of explosions, I'm standing alone in the middle of the ring, knee deep in rancid orange neocon goo. The sound of cheers ringing in my ears. They couldn't handle the truth. They never can. I feel good, but my boots are ruined. I woke up and my bed was filled with crustaceans. Ooh, what does that even mean? God, I need help. I need the help. So, dude, let's get into this Dolfer.
The report.
The Dolfer report. Get into, like, let's just make one thing clear. The Bush administration, you know, they have had many reasons for invading Iraq over the time, you know, over the last few years and before the Iraq invasion, but it turns out none of them are holding any water. I mean, this report characterizes Iraq as sort of, not only incapable of manufacturing weapons, you know, and certainly not having them, but sort of a broken country with a fairly ineffective military, a leader who was paranoid and isolated and completely, frightened of his own people.
Hadn't used a phone since 1990.
Because he was afraid the Americans or somebody would know where his location was. He was just trying to keep up a face of armament in order to protect himself from Iran, and that, you know, he was actually trying to seek a connection with the United States so he could end the United Nations sanctions, you know, which were working.
That was, in fact, his focus. That was his concern. He wanted the sanctions ended. The weapons of mass destruction thing, and by the way, the Dolfer report throws Bush the small bone that Saddam may have had the desire to get weapons of mass destruction. So now it seems we have invaded a country not because of any concrete evidence, but because of desire.
Right. And now we have, like, here's a list of quotes, like September 12, 2002. Okay, Bush before the United Nations General Assembly. Saddam Hussein's regime is a grave and gathering danger. To suggest otherwise is to hope against the evidence. To assume this regime's good faith is to bet the lives of millions and the peace of the world in a reckless gamble, and this is a risk we must not take. Okay? Whoops. No weapons of mass destruction have been found, obviously. And that was, you know, no evidence to suggest a concerted effort for Iraq to restart a nuclear program. That's Dolfer, you know, in this new report.
Yes. And see, this is the sad part, Mark. This is something that you absolutely did not hear from George W. Bush during his two appearances yesterday. No mention of Dolfer whatsoever. And you know what he's going to do?
How would he even mention it?
No, but you know what he's going to do on Friday? Because he knows Kerry's going to mention it. Rove already knows Kerry's going to mention it. What he will do is go back to his "the world is a better place without Saddam Hussein" argument and say that anyone who believes otherwise is a supporter of Saddam Hussein. Now, we all know that's a load of crap. We all know that John Kerry had no truck with Saddam Hussein. But the rhetorical trick that Bush will use tomorrow, as sure as our names are marked, is that he will say, if you question for any reason the U.S. rationale for going in, then you oppose going in, and therefore you support the kind of brutal dictatorship that Saddam Hussein imposed on the Iraqi people, which is nonsense.
So they'll skirt the issue?
Absolutely.
So that, well, that's good. That's pretty interesting, man. And you're like, there's so much other evidence that, you know, this is all a complete sham, and I really hope that Kerry calls him on it, and I think he will. I just hope he doesn't complicate it by, you know, he can cite this thing. But they, again, this is going on in the press today, but how many of those people in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania are going to, you know, heed this or listen to it? They're just going to...
Bob Shorts will.
Okay. What do we got?
We got coming up, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Rapture Watch, the telephone.
Oh, yeah, calls.
Yeah, 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270, when we come back here on Air America Radio.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. Smoke RX has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, Smoke RX is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, Smoke RX starts to work immediately. Come on. Aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that Smoke RX will work for you that we're giving away a free month supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, Smoke RX is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
Now serving for the match, it's Jimmy Wang. Serves to Lee. Wang. Lee. Backhand by Wang. Lee. Wang, with a tremendous forehand, wins the World Series of Ping Pong. There's the World Series, and then there's the World Series. The season wraps up. For some, it's going to be a long, cold winter, but one team will call themselves world champs. The season wraps up on ESPN Radio, Sirius 120. Go to Sirius.com for the game broadcast schedule.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Jackie wants help getting her kids' college savings started. My advice after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Jackie needs some help with college planning.
We have two kids who are under the age of four. We've got savings bonds from grandmothers and every other relative. And we've got a little bit of money, a little less than $1,000 apiece. We're planning on setting up an ESA for them.
Mm-hmm.
But should we go ahead and do that now,
yeah,
even though we don't have that much?
Yeah.
Or
you can open plenty of mutual funds for $1,000 and do $1,000 for this year in the ESA with money that's already laying there. And then when you get to baby step five, meaning you're out of debt, you have your emergency fund in place, and you've started your retirement, then you can start adding to those accounts.
Okay.
But go ahead and get them going, because those savings bonds and savings accounts aren't paying those anything for those little
kids.
And let's go ahead and move that $1,000 into a good growth stock mutual fund and qualify it as an educational savings account. I would do that today, Jackie.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
They're in your bathroom cabinet, under the kitchen sink,
in your garage. There are ordinary household products that kids as young as 10 sniff to get high. What these kids don't know is that sniffing can cause instant death. Talk to your kids. Know where they're going, who they're with, and what they're doing. If you know what your kids are up to, they're much less likely to sniff inhalants. Awareness. The anti-drug.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kixbrooks.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks.
And Dunn for RAD.
And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't. As in don't drive drunk.
Yep, and I got a three-letter word for you, as in get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence.
Get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk. My
heart is lost. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Weird. I almost forgot where I was and what I was doing completely. I got absorbed in a blog attack.
Uh-oh. I got to get my head out of the blog. Get my head out of the blog. I am not a blog bitch. I will not do it. I'm going to talk to Mark Riley. I am Mark Maron.
Yeah.
This is Morning's Edition. I got human beings here. I got Kalo on the board. I got Clutch Larson in the booth. I got Brendan P.W. McDonald taking the phone calls. I got Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, out in the night running big errands. And we got Kent the Colonel Jones upstairs doing the big work. We got things to do here. I can't be hung up with somebody who's got the time to take a, you know, this sort of, you know, piece together this weird semi-rational attack on my excitement over the fact that George Bush is being proved wrong in his preemptive unilateral decision to go into Iraq primarily to create some sort of free market utopia and fool the American people into thinking Saddam was some sort of threat. He may have been a threat at one time. He may have been a threat in the future. But most of the argument they used to define him as a threat to the American people was crap. Now, speaking of Iraq, since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 100. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. Given all the violence and chaos and despair going on here, I really shouldn't need to talk to you about tourism. I mean, as romantic destinations go, this place is right up there with Chernobyl or Love Canal. I'm sorry, guys. It's just, all right, it's just true. But believe it or not, the fact that there's one in three a chance that your car will explode makes Iraq an exciting destination for a few thrill-seeking Westerners. You've seen them, the avalanche skiers, volcano divers, the adrenaline junkies, no body fat and no brain cells and no fear. The trouble is, these mooks are running out of dangerous things to do. So suddenly, Iraq looks like Disneyland. Yeah, that's why they come. Normally, we wouldn't care what happens to those idiots, but it's an election year. What we don't need right now is a video of some skinny American white kid with dreadlocks pleading for his life on camera. That image doesn't exactly say the president is keeping us safer, you dig? No, it doesn't. We've got a really close race here, and there's no room for error. One 17-year-old kid separated from a skateboard and his head can ruin the whole deal. So show those guys the door the minute you see them. Get them out of there any way you can. Tell them Fish is reuniting for a big show in Bulgaria. That should work. All right, maybe not, but get him out. So good luck and God bless. This is Day 100 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die.
Oh, 100 days, man. 100 days.
Uh-huh.
That's amazing.
Yeah, isn't it? Yep. So let's take some calls. Esma in Brooklyn, how are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning. You're on with Mark and Mark. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Mark and Mark. Well, what's on my mind and what's bothering me is that Kerry doesn't take it a step further in exploiting that Bush is doing this for such personal reasons. You know, after the Gulf War, Saddam Hussein had tiles, mosaics, portraits of George Sr. on every floor in Baghdad, in front of banks, in front of hotels, everywhere, which is a huge disrespect in Arab culture, you know, to step on a face like that. And this guy came in for revenge, and the neocons used his ass to get their work done. So everybody had an agenda, but Kerry is not, he's not pushing it. Why not?
Okay, well, we'll try and address that as best we can. I can't get Carrie on the phone right now.
No.
We can't get her on the phone at all to come into our show, but that's his business. But, I mean, that certainly is a complaint from a lot of Democrats and a lot of progressives. Not progressives, but certainly Democrats, is that, you know, why isn't he getting more personal about this Iraq thing? I guess we saw a bit of it, in the first debate. I don't know what we'll see in the second debate. But what she's saying is that basically, you know, the whole Iraq thing is this protracted Oedipal struggle where, you know, George Bush is, you know, trying to show his dad up and avenge his father, and that, of course, serves his father's friends who want to create this free market utopia and just extract, you know, everything they can out of Iraq and, you know, and capitalize on it. But I don't know why Kerry doesn't address that specifically. I mean, he is kind of choosing not to take personal attacks.
But see, that's a whole card. That's something you use when you have to. Right now, he's got Dulfer. Right now, he's got Rumsfeld. Right now, he's got Bremer. He's got Bush's own people essentially following his position and taking his position on this. Now, none of these guys are going to admit that. Bremer has tried to back up off of what he said. Rumsfeld is his defense secretary, Bush's defense secretary, for God's sake, and maybe he didn't intentionally mean to do this. Dulfer was the guy that Bush was waiting for. He was the one that they said, well, we're not going to pay any attention to what David Kaye, the first weapons inspector they sent in there, or actually the second, we're not going to pay any attention to what he said when he said there was no, weapons of mass destruction. We're waiting for Dulfer. Well, Dulfer has arrived.
Yeah, and I also think that in the Kerry Bush, the first debate, I think that, you know, we did see a little of that when Kerry beautifully said, well, your father, I read his book, he wouldn't have gone in, he wouldn't have made the same decisions, you punk. I think we're seeing a little. I'm paraphrasing here, but yeah, I think we could see a little bit of what you're talking about. But you'd like to see more, and certainly I understand that desire. It would be very satisfying. Candy in the Bronx, how are you?
Hey, Candy. Hi.
You guys make me laugh. I haven't laughed in about 20 years.
Oh,
wow, what happened?
Every morning in bed, I'm hysterical.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that.
Well,
I'm glad I could help.
You're wonderful. Now, I got to tell you a story, okay?
Okay, yeah, I'm ready.
A year and a half, I went on, shall I say the airline or no?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Huh?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I went on JetBlue.
Okay.
JetBlue, okay.
I like JetBlue.
And I went to see my mother and father.
Yeah.
But JetBlue didn't treat me very well.
Oh, really?
What'd they do?
Well, when I got to the airport in Kennedy, my husband went to park. He's 79 years old. I'm 66.
Yeah.
And when I showed my license, they told me that I wasn't who I was. I wasn't me.
You weren't Candy.
And you should know
Well,
that.
No, I'm not Candy. That's not my real name. I don't want to say my real name.
Oh, okay. Were you afraid JetBlue's going to get you or something?
No, wait. So then they took me into the special room, and they went through my popcorn like it was monsters coming out of the popcorn. And when I got on the plane, they didn't let me go to the bathroom.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean they didn't let you go to the bathroom?
3.5 hours I was not allowed to go to the bathroom because my urine is a weapon of mass destruction. And they took my purse. They took my purse with my asthma medicine. And they when I asked why can I have my asthma medicine, they said for your own security.
Whoa.
For my own security.
Yeah, so you're going to wheeze to death, but you'll be secure doing it.
Yeah, and I wrote to every Congress people and senators. All I get is an apology, but nobody's telling me why.
Well, I don't understand. They wouldn't let you go to the bathroom on the plane?
No, and everybody else was allowed to.
Oh,
now, Candy, you're here in New York, right?
Yes.
Maybe you should get in touch with Senator Schumer because he's got a commercial, campaign commercial.
Yes, I did.
I brought JetBlue to New York.
Well, actually, I told him this before he started getting this commercial.
Really?
But did you specifically say to Senator Schumer that you weren't allowed to go to the bathroom on the plane?
I wrote everybody, including Hillary Hilton, Mrs. Clinton, congressman in the Bronx.
What airport was this?
Kennedy.
It was at Kennedy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so right here in New York.
Yeah, but when I hear the second thing, I was sick in the hospital in March.
Yeah.
Now, this happened in March a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Now, this March, I was very, very sick.
Yeah.
And the first thing, I was in the hospital 24 hours in the Bronx before anybody even saw me.
Oh, my God.
And then when I got up to the room, they gave me a form, and one of the questions was, have you ever been near a missile?
Have you ever what?
Been near a missile?
Yeah.
What?
Oh. Yeah. And I've been trying to get this under the Information Act. Nobody wants to give it to me.
So,
and they deny that they gave me that form.
So you don't know whether or not you've been near a missile or not.
Excuse me?
You don't know whether you've been near a missile or not.
Well, unless they have one under my toilet.
Oh, Candy, I can't believe that there's been such an incredible... No wonder she hasn't laughed for 20 years. There's been this incredible chain of failure of elected officials to speak to her concerns.
Are you still there, Candy?
Huh?
I want to hear from you again.
I'm very depressed. I mean, I know. You guys are telling the truth, and, you know, nobody believes me, and I'm to the point where I thought, gee, maybe I'm crazy. So a 66-year-old law-abiding citizen who has worked for the federal government
is
a threat to this guy.
Well, you know what? Why don't you call us back next week? I want to hear how this, if you get any response, and maybe we'll try and reach out here at the network for you.
Yeah,
good.
Okay,
absolutely.
Thank you, Candy.
Wow, that's scary. Let me tell you something. Mark, before I started doing this, and I used to work on the flagship station here, I used to hear stories like this all the time. This is not some lunatic making stuff up. Things like this actually happen to people, and it seems as though the government sometimes, or the people that are involved, figure, well, nobody's going to believe her.
Right.
Nobody's going to say, you know, nobody's going to act on her behalf. And that is why, in part, Mark, people don't end up voting. Because if nobody, if no elected official will even respond to you, then why go vote for him?
I just, like, I don't understand why Jeff Wu won't let her go to the bathroom. And I'm gonna talk to Jeff Wu with their, that's policy. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Don't they have leather seats? I mean, wouldn't that create a little bit of a crime?
I don't know, but I mean, it's just, and, you know, in the missile thing, what is that?
I don't know, but she doesn't sound, Candy did not sound crazy to me.
No, I mean, it sounded completely reasonable. And, like, you know, I guess I was being, you know, clearly there's not a missile under a toilet. But
let's hope not.
She's very funny.
Yeah, she is.
I hope she calls us back. We'll be back. We've got Rapture Watch coming up, which is always interesting.
Yep.
You're America Radio 44 past the hour.
In the presidential debate last week, John Kerry beat up George Bush for having his priorities backward in the war on terror. He asked Bush why he's spending millions of dollars to open firehouses in Iraq while he's shutting them down at home. The Bush administration has so far thrown nearly $200 billion at Iraq. Meanwhile, the Department of Homeland Security will get only $27 billion this year, with most of that going to items that were in place well before 9/11. The Iraq war is killing genuine Homeland Security. Experts say it'll take $6 billion to upgrade subway and commuter trains in large U.S. cities to safeguard against terrorism. This year, Bush is spending less than 2% of that amount, around $100 million. How long would it take to burn through that money in Iraq? 8 hours. The administration is billions short on upgrading port security, equipping airports with machines that screen baggage for explosives, and training firefighters for terrorist attacks. The amount it spends on all these initiatives combined would last only half a week in Iraq. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dihydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
Join us October 11th for the Vote for Change concert live from D.C. with Springsteen, R.E.M., the Dixie Chicks, the Dave Matthews Band, John Mellencamp, and a slew of others. It's 4 hours of great music and a chance to show your support for John Kerry. And, well, if you're a righty, turn it up for the music and just turn it down between the songs. The Vote for Change concert, Monday the 11th at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Spectrum 18.
Want to get your child fired up about playing a sport? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. My wife taught me that it's not a good idea to push your kids into sports. Instead, do things to get them interested
Take them to a tennis match or a baseball game. Then, give them a book or magazine on the sport. Maybe even check out a video from the library. Get excited about the sport yourself and let them enjoy the overall experience. For ideas on how to keep your kids motivated once they do get involved with sports, go to FamilyMinute.net for a free information sheet. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hello? Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving. Mm. And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
There's a good reason why doctors and dentists are always washing their hands. Soap and hot water remove harmful bacteria, including the bugs that cause food-related illnesses. Keep it clean in the kitchen. Wash hands, utensils, and work surfaces thoroughly before preparing and eating a meal after handling raw poultry, meat, eggs, and seafood. This reminder brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
Well, that's appropriate music. It's 50 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. Mark Riley just inhaled an entire bagel in a matter of seconds. It was incredible. And I eat fast.
Num.
The Bible's Book of Revelation portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning's Edition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with Cardinal Milfington of the recently disgraced Diocese of Janesville, Wisconsin. Your Grace?
Hear now my proclamation, all you sodomites, devourers of human flesh, and the local society of Masons in my hometown. You know who you are. Give me back my bike. Prepare for the end times, Phoenician whores. Cast off your sins, pagan god naysayers. Raise your hands to heaven and sing the praises of Kothar, son of Dagon, rider of the clouds, and give nourish to his insatiable need for bloody child sacrifice. All right, who's been messing with my notepad? I'm going to tell the manager this time, I really am. The rapture is upon us, and you're all up Hell Creek without a paddle. Yeah, I got a million of these. Last weeketh, I told you about a plague of locusts. The weeketh before, I talked about the staggering rise in world population. And a few minutes ago, we told you about Candy, a 66-year-old lady in Brooklyn with a missile in her toilet. But now it's even worse. You've seen the news. Earthquakes in Central California, volcano eruptions in Washington State. For it was prophesied in Revelation 2, the wrath of Khan. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voice. And the very rocks did cry out when mankind did not praise him. And beasts appeared, the first like a lion, the second like a calf. And so started a long, dreary tradition of uninspired similes and anthropomorphisms. No laugh there. Clearly, Jesus doesn't like the perverted San Joaquin Valley nor immigrant farm workers. It's a clear sign we're eating too many grapes, favorite fruit of that heretic Cesar Chavez. We tried to get all our best streets named after him. And Mount St. Helens, belching God's death vomit all over thousands of Satan's minions. Growers of hydroponic pods. So there you have it, sinners.
stick a fork in your world because it's done. You better return that Porky's tape to Blockbuster because you're overdue for purgatory. Yeah, I got a million of these. So keep on fornicating, fornicators, and we'll keep the light on for you. In hell!
I'm going to church after this, I'm telling you now.
Thank you, Cardinal. That was inspiring.
You're welcome, Mark. Heretic and meat eater.
Why don't you go have a tofu
sausage
brownie or something? Some nuts, bowl of grain.
Your garden burger, meatless riblet?
Yes! Yes, I'll have one of those. Can you bring me one?
A meatless riblet.
Sure, I'll bring you one, if you'll really eat it.
I'll eat it. I'm not against it.
Let's talk about Candy and that missile in the toilet again.
I hope she's okay.
Yeah, really.
Thank you. That was that's always inspirational. And you know why when he said that no laughs there, that music was hypnotizing. It gets so trippy about that part.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you go from goth to gospel back to goth again.
Let's try and segue into some dire legal problems. 30 states are poised to make abortion illegal within a year if the Supreme Court reversed its 1973 ruling establishing women's legal right to abortion. This means that if they reverse Roe versus Wade, which they would only need, and one of these old bastards is going to, retire soon in the Supreme Court.
I thought you were going to say croak.
No, I don't want to wish that on anybody. But if they, if they do replace somebody with someone conservative and they overturn this thing, apparently all those laws that were on the books before Roe versus Wade can be reenacted and built upon.
Yes, and many of these previous statutes were extremely restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
And there are high risk, there are 21 states that are considered at high risk, and not all of them are in the South. Places like Delaware, Colorado, Michigan, Nebraska, North Dakota, Ohio, all actually could end up in situations where if Roe v. Wade is overturned, you end up with state laws that make it a crime for a woman to get an abortion.
Which would mean dangerous situations again. It would mean, coat hangers. It would mean, weird kind of underground surgeons. Mexico. It's horrible. People, in order to get, an abortion that was safe, would have to do what many seniors do to get their medications. They'd have to go to Canada.
Yeah. Now, Alabama is one of the states involved here, and the abortion ban was never enjoined by the courts, which means the minute Roe v. Wade goes, the Alabama law takes comes back into force, and it could be enforced immediately.
Mm-hmm.
No abortions anywhere in the state.
And it's scary that they've been chipping away at this legislation. They've been chipping away. There was that case where, in an accident, it was decided that an unborn fetus, if you murder a pregnant woman, that is a double homicide.
Yeah, that was Bush signed a federal law regarding protection of the Pregnant Women Act or something along those lines.
But that's just part of that slippery slope towards defining the unborn as being people.
Yeah, and it's also it's interesting that you have not heard Bush on the stump or in the debate thus far talk about specifically about what his plans are for abortion, or whether or not, for example, he would make as a priority appointing an anti-abortion judge to the court.
I wonder if that's going to come up because this tomorrow night. That's it's domestic, right? The debates.
The debate is
domestic policy.
As a matter of fact, it may end up being pretty wide ranging because the questions will come from the audience.
Huh.
So there may be some foreign policy stuff too. But see, Bush thought he took care of the foreign policy stuff yesterday when he got his 53 minutes of FaceTime.
Yeah, but was that foreign policy stuff, or was just
just
sort of a slander fest?
Well, yeah, it was a slander fest on foreign policy because he knew he took a hit. And remember that the polling, although he says he doesn't look at it, the polling is telling his people that that's his strength: national security, war on terror, foreign policy.
But he can't speak with any confidence to the broad range of people of America. He can only speak with a certain amount of confidence to the people that will believe him, even if he went up there and said, "Hey, guess what? I'm gonna look at me. I'm juggling."
Well, he's juggling, and he's juggling a lot of things. There's a lot of stuff up in the air. He's gotten, and I don't know how he's managed to do this, a small number of black clergy people across the country.
What is that about? Can you
call
them?
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to get them to back. attack him based on his opposition to same-sex marriages. And this is the, you know, many of these same clergy people every third week in January have big celebrations of Martin Luther King, and they forget that Dick Cheney voted against the holiday that they celebrated.
So where's their priorities, man? I mean, what are they doing?
Their priorities are in their wallets,
so the
or up their butts.
Give me some of that faith-based initiative money.
That's what it is. Give me some of that faith-based initiative money, and I'll back you to the hill. Now, what ends up happening in many cases is that their congregations don't follow them. There were several very prominent black clergy people who endorsed, for example, the Republican governor of New York State a couple of years back, but their congregations voted the other way. When people start thinking about Martin Luther King and Nelson Mandela and the fact that Dick Cheney could not get on board with either one of them,
yeah,
how in the world can a black person say you backed that ticket?
But yeah,
that's just me complaining. When we come back in the next hour of Morning's Edition, the Presidential Daily Briefing, the Liberal Agenda, our friends from the Guerrilla News Network are back to talk about their new movie, and what you got coming up, Marin?
Well, we got Jeffrey Toobin, don't we, at the top of the hour.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Yeah, stop. In Missouri, the Bush administration has botched everything they've gotten their hands on, and they have got to go on November 2nd. Vote for John Kerry for president.
Hello, I'm Kerry Dembelsky. I'm from Ohio. I'm voting for Mr. Bush. President Bush has done a fine job for it. I'm a truck driver, and many of other truck drivers like myself are voting for Mr. Bush.
This is Ron from New Jersey, and this November 2nd, I'll be voting for John Kerry. George Bush must go. Anybody that sits there for 7 minutes after they've been told that our nation is under attack is not a good leader.
This is Tracy from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm a retired U.S. Navy veteran, so I encourage all the veterans to get out and vote for George W. Bush.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius. Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite Fresh.
Satellite Fresh.
Sirius, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Not a peep out of the White House the last couple of days on the findings of President Bush's hand-picked inspector who provided the final report on Iraq and its weapons. Report by its investigator Charles Dulfer concludes no link between Saddam Hussein and 9/11, no link between Saddam Hussein and the weapons of mass destruction. No question the Dulfer report will surface in tomorrow night's debate between Bush and Kerry, but so far the White House has nothing to say about the findings of the 1,000-page document. Report largely concludes that there was no real justification for war with Iraq at the time it was staged. Dulfer's report also showed that Saddam Hussein had a fondness for the United States. Even as President Bush was threatening war with his country, Hussein had in his possession American-made movies, literature, including one of his favorite books by Ernest Hemingway, The Old Man and the Sea. Senate Armed Services Committee yesterday heard from investigator Charles Dulfer himself. His comments under questioning by veteran lawmaker Carl Levin of the Senate panel were most alarming to the Michigan Democrat.
In addition to having no WMD stocks before the war, for the reasons you gave, Saddam chose not to have those weapons. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Those are stunning statements.
Charles Dulfer in an exchange with Senator Carl Levin during Senate Armed Services Committee hearings yesterday. One of this nation's largest ethnic groups is no longer attracted by the ad campaign of being all that you can be in the U.S. Army. Wall Street Journal reports that fewer African Americans are looking for a career in that branch of service. The development is yet another troubling sign for the Bush White House, placing further strain in the already exhausted military with obligations in Iraq and Afghanistan. Blacks this year attracted to the Army was only 15.6% of the entire enlistment pool. It was a decline from a peak of 16,695 recruits, or 21% before the war in Iraq. Timing of the drop corresponds with the mass movement of troops to the Middle East and the outbreak in Iraq. House of Representatives has voted to lengthen health care benefits for members of the military reserves, a move recognizing that tours of duty are becoming longer and longer. House voted to increase the amount of time that reservists can continue their employer-sponsored health plans. Those plans now cover reservists for 18 months, but the House approved increasing the coverage to a total of 2 years. Fresh from his debate appearance with Dick Cheney, John Edwards yesterday responded to Bush's blistering criticism of John Kerry. Edwards said Bush was out of touch with reality about the war in Iraq and this nation's economy. Edwards again charged the president with refusing to acknowledge what he described as the mess in Iraq. The senator said all one has to do is turn on their television to see what's going on. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Now serving for the match, it's Jimmy Wang. Serves to Lee. Wang. Lee. Backhand by Wang. Lee. Wang, with a tremendous forehand, wins the World Series of Ping Pong. There's the World Series, and then there's the World Series. The season wraps up. For some, it's going to be a long, cold winter, but one team will call themselves world champs. The season wraps up on ESPN Radio, Sirius 120. Go to Sirius.com for the game broadcast schedule.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Heather's teaching kids about money, and they think they need a credit card to get a home loan. I'll answer her email next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Heather emails with questions about loan approval. I'm writing because I have a quick question. I work with a lot of young people that I've been advising to stay away from credit cards. They're concerned because they fear they will not be able to buy a home with a loan if they don't have a credit history. Is this completely true? It's completely untrue. That is one of the biggest lies floating around out there. Fannie Mae, FHA, and VA underwriting guidelines clearly state that if you can get a mortgage company that actually does underwriting, they don't do lending for dummies with a Beacon score only, you can get a home if you have a credit bureau report that has your name, address, and social security number on it and nothing else. If you've been on the job for 2 years steady, you paid your landlord early or on time for 2 years steady and can prove it, and if you're not trying to buy too much house with a reasonable down payment and a reasonable payment as a percentage of your income, you qualify for a home. You do not have to take out a credit card or a car loan in order to qualify for a house. That is a lie.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burrito.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, adepts, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, prophets, poets, working class heroes, man, children, progressive utopians with a vision but no sense of humor. How are you all? Bloggers! Blog. I got stuck in the blog. Every time that I say I'm not going to do it, I do it. Why am I talking like Kent? He just did that promo for Unfiltered. Now I've got the Kent Unfiltered voice. The Colonel Kent Jones.
That's that Kent, Walter Winchell thing.
Kent, man. The Colonel Jones.
Here he comes.
The studio.
Here he comes.
Here's the Colonel now. Now,
you watch a lot of the Untouchables.
Good morning, Mark. Kent Jones from the Unfiltered News. Come here to make lots of noise.
I'm exhausted.
Alphys. I love this. Frank drinking laughter.
Wow. I'm exasperated. I don't think it's very funny that those guys are making fun of me on their show.
Yeah, but he's out of town and you can't do anything about it.
I don't make fun of them because we're on in more markets than they are, and it would serve no purpose. No, I lost the accent.
So, Kent, what's going on? You going away this weekend?
No.
You staying here?
Yeah. Gotta stay here. Gotta rest.
Yeah.
Man needs his rest.
Yeah, and reintroduce yourself to your wife.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah,
sorry, I've been away all week.
Yeah, I saw her Monday.
Did you go to Monday?
She looked great. Fantastic. You're the one that
sleeps in the bed.
Right. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. You're the one that feeds the dog. That's so cool.
I got to go home and see my wife tomorrow. And apparently my house is a completely different place.
Redecorated?
She put all that Sprint ad money into this patio.
Ooh.
That was the deal.
Oh, you got the check?
Yeah, the checks are coming. But, you know, they're okay. That whole thing, someday I'm going to tell the story about, you know, the actual shooting of that thing. That thing came out of nowhere. If you want to judge me, you can judge me for doing a Sprint ad. But you know what? We all need health coverage.
Yeah.
You know, number one. SAG health coverage, not so bad. And it came out of nowhere. I rarely audition for it. I'm not going to apologize for it. It was fine. What I was going to say.
I'm not attacking you.
No, I know.
Me neither.
Nobody needs to attack me. Don't you understand? I'm attacking me. I have this
built. Mark, stop attacking Mark.
That's right.
You can't access that mark. That mark is buried deep in the reptilian part of my brain. I'm one of these weird people that, like, right near the survival center of my brain, there's a guy straddling it going, you suck. This thing has no power over me. You're an idiot. Dude, there's no reason to live. And thank God the non-speaking reptilian ancient part of my brain just says, oh, why doesn't this thing get off of me? He can't win. That's the struggle.
Submit.
Yeah.
Submit.
But I'm going home. I haven't seen her in a while. And she's like this. She's got my neighbor, the Bulgarian contractor, who recently left his Christian rock singing wife, or they're separating. I don't know what's going on.
Oldest story in the book. Right?
Yeah. He's a great guy, Roman, and he's helped a lot with the house. But, you know, now he's, you know, they're taking care of my wife. And there's this cat who helps her out, Ernie. You know, Ernie, who is works for Roman, who is laid to sleep. Ernie helped my wife bury Butch. Ernie, she said, put a chandelier into our living room. So, you know, basically I said, maybe you ought to marry Ernie. maybe Ernie should
maybe you shouldn't plan things like that in your wife's head.
Well, you know, it's the same old story, you know, that scenario, you know, the husband's out of town, the guy doing the work, you know. And
you can't
muscles glistening.
You can't compete with the handy ones, man.
Yeah.
The handy ones are always dangerous. They'll pick the handy one every time.
Yeah. I'm pretty handy. I got
the electrician, the plumber, milkman.
If you can fix things, forget it.
So what are you saying? Is that tomorrow when I get home, when she's asleep, I'm going to have to go out and build a guest house?
No, you have to go out and murder Ernie.
No, Ernie, if you can. Man. He's a good guy. Well, it's better, you know, if I was a real, like, you know, if I was a real swinger, I'd be like, well, maybe I'll sleep with him. I mean, he's doing such nice stuff around the house. You know,
that's an L.A. way of looking at things.
Hey, why not videotape it? It might be fun for me and you to... Did I just lower the bar?
Hey, man.
Dropped it on the floor, maybe.
Why be so uptight? There's so many rules.
There's so many rules. Why don't you bring some of your friends over and have a party?
Can you just relax, man?
But the sad thing is when you know, neither...
You've used that one before, Trent, I can tell.
Cut to the Lenny Bruce scenario from the movie Lenny, where you didn't have to like it so much. You know, like, here we are promoting this thing, then the insecurity kicks in after the deed is like, you know, we didn't have to like it so much.
They just re-released a bunch of his DVDs or CDs or something. I heard about it the other day.
There's only one video, and that's him desperate and sweating and strung out trying to defend himself against a brick wall.
Is that the one Hal Wilner?
No, this was I don't know who handheld that video. There's some stuff of him on The Tonight Show, and there's some things, these short films that he made and stuff. But
no, maybe this is audio then. Because apparently he taped himself incessantly when he thought he was going to get busted.
Oh, yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. Oh, that'd be very interesting.
Yeah, I think there's like a whole bunch of those audio tapes that are just being released.
Manic Benzedrine ramblings of a cornered Lenny. And Lenny, of course, had problems with the law. And our next guest
is the law. Segway.
Are we doing that now? We're doing it now?
Sure. Why not? Or are we?
Oh, my God. Wait. They just turned the TV. He's on CNN right now talking live to What's-Her-Name. Who's that?
I mean What's-Her-Name.
That's not the one that's sleeping with the limbo. Wait. Is there any way? Jeffrey!
Jeff!
Nothing. Nothing. So we're waiting for him to get off TV. Anyway, now...
Pretty long segment.
I get to go see my wife. It's interesting about the whole distancing is that when you're really away from them, there's so much, there's so much weight to when you see each other. It's almost like every time you see each other, it's like courting. It's exciting.
Mm. He's done.
So
we'll hear from him shortly.
So I guess we got to do it after the break then. Why don't we take a break and come back with him? How would that be? We're going to do that. It's 12. Wait, you know what? Let's wait 4 seconds till it's the top of the hour, and then we'll do it. You know what? It's 13 past the hour on Air America Radio.
LegalTees.net, the website where you'll find the t-shirts that are funny, whimsical, political, and maybe even controversial. Do you know why sharks don't attack lawyers? I speak basic. What do you speak? To find the answers, go to LegalTees.net. That's LegalTees.net. You can choose computer tees, legal tees, political tees, or custom make your own shirt. Go to LegalTees.net and decide for yourself.
You will not be considered unpatriotic if you disagree with our shirts.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call American Satellite. 1-800-264-0071. That's 1-800-264-0071. Ask how you can get Total Choice Premier free for 4 months, a $360 value. 1-800-264-0071. Call now.
Add $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. Offer ends October 30th, 2004.
New customers only. Annual programming commitment required.
If you're in sales and aren't using WebEx, you could be losing money. Big money. With WebEx, the leader in web meetings, you get the interactivity of face-to-face meetings without the hassle and expense of flying or driving. And because WebEx meetings are so convenient, you'll make more sales presentations, which means bigger commissions for you. Go to WebEx.com for a 14-day free trial to see how powerful a WebEx sales meeting can be. Be where you need to be with WebEx meetings. Get started with a 14-day free trial. That's WebEx.com.
One of the most dangerous wide receivers in the NFL. And Keyshawn Johnson's weekly radio show, heard exclusively on Sirius, takes you inside the game for a player's perspective. Back to last week's game. What went wrong? What went right? Then previews the upcoming Big Sunday game. Keyshawn Johnson, taking it to the house. Thursday nights, 8 Eastern, NFL Radio, Sirius 124.
How does arguing with your spouse affect your kids? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Some family experts say that lots of arguing results in more aggression between kids. But there's an upside to observing conflict between parents. When you handle it properly, kids can learn how to discuss problems and how to resolve them. And they can see that relationships and family life improve as a result. So, it's okay to disagree openly and calmly with your spouse, as long as you respect and listen to one another. Focus on working toward a solution and not letting anger get the better of you. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
AIDS has killed nearly 6 million children worldwide. That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school, and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Thanks to you, all sorts of everyday products are now being made from the materials you've been recycling. But to keep recycling working, you also need to buy products made from recycled materials. So the next time you're shopping, look for products that say made from recycled materials and buy them. And don't forget to support the recycling effort on November 15th, America Recycles Day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. Again, that's 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A public service message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
I burned myself and this, and now the scab's off, and look, it's a whole new chunk of skin. It's
unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
You have great regenerative powers, man.
Oh, no. Yes, I do. Here we go. Ramon brought... I'm sorry to bring you all into that.
He was picking a scab, folks, but hey, this isn't television.
Oh, my God. You had to tell him. I was trying to make it sound like a medical segment. Like, isn't the human body interesting? But no, Riley's like, did that bleed? All right. Here's your presidential pump button for today. 6:30 a.m., wake up, stay on message. It's not what I am, it's what Kerry isn't. 9 a.m., practice with Kerry debate dummy. Tip off Drudge. There's a shocking sex video going around with Kerry debate dummy and Willie Tyler and Lester. Best thing that ever happened to them. They're looking to bounce back. 11 a.m., announce to the media I'm going to be giving another major address to set aside at least, please, set aside at least 50 minutes for me to speak to the nation. Topic, I will be having lunch, possibly tuna. 3:20 p.m., speak at rally, Wausau, Wisconsin. Counter Springsteen's Vote for Change tour with local group Pete Malicki and the Polka Wildcats. Live! 5 p.m. On the way to St. Louis, take ride side trip to Philadelphia. Run up steps of Philadelphia Art Museum, play Rocky theme, bring film crew to use footage and campaign ads. Ba, 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 da, da, ba. Sorry. 7 p.m. Go to St. Louis, Missouri for tomorrow's debate. Buy red Cardinals cap for town hall debates. Every little bit helps. Every little bit helps. 10 p.m. bedtime. Drive by Anheuser-Busch Brewery. Take deep breaths. Only 4 more weeks and no one will care. Ooh, I'm getting thirsty. Right now, on the phone, off the television.
Yeah.
Apparently, off the television, we have CNN legal analyst and a staff writer for The New Yorker. Jeffrey Toobin is here. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
We were just watching you on TV. We had to wait to see you to see them cut to commercial so we could talk to you.
You know why?
Yeah.
Because they pay me and you don't.
Oh, sorry.
That's sort of like the deal.
Hold on. How much you got, Riley?
Wait a minute. I spent everything on the Kalo, on the bagel for breakfast. Sorry.
Jeffrey,
it is my pleasure to be with you.
I heard that Jonathan Kletz-Larsen used to work for you.
Work for me?
Or no, I mean
my place in the food chain. No one works for me. But no, Jonathan Larson ran CNN. He was basically the leader of the entire operation.
That's interesting because he brings that same illusion here. We all just this is Jonathan's world. We just live in it.
Yep,
true.
I think he actually invented me. Did you ever get that feeling over at CNN?
Yeah, absolutely. No, in fact, I go back to Jonathan's prior career when he ran ABC's. Overnight program, World News Now, a program seen by many nursing mothers in insomnia.
Oh, that must have been just hilarious, just seeing, you know, Larson fester in his little room, like, how can I move these pawns around in a world where no one's watching? Yahtzee! All right, so let's talk about the legal problems of the world that will be facing the nation if George Bush gets into office again, primarily the one we talked about earlier. Well, first of all, why is this election so important to the Supreme Court?
Well, you know, this is an extraordinary moment in the history of the Supreme Court. There has been no vacancy since Stephen Breyer replaced Harry Blackmun in 1994. That's 10 years without an appointment. That's the longest time between appointments since the 1820s.
Uh-huh.
And you now have, I think, more than half the court that is over 70 years old. it's, no one knows for sure how many vacancies there will be in the next 4 years, but it's widely expected there will be two or three. And, you know, if you think about the issues that matter long-term for this country, whether it's abortion, whether it's the death penalty, whether it's civil liberties,
mm-hmm.
they all stop at the Supreme Court. That's the last stop for these decisions. And, you know, the next president is very likely going to name not just one, but several Supreme Court justices.
So now it seems to me that these Supreme Court justices live an awful long time. Is there a Supreme Court justice diet available?
Well, you know, an argument that it is the world's most perfect job because you have absolute power. You know, my favorite quote about the Supreme Court, Justice Robert Jackson said in the 1940s, "We are not final because we are infallible. We are infallible because we are final." In other words, you know, there is just no stop after the Supreme Court.
So you're saying that to have absolute power is good for the immunity system,
yeah.
It's good for your heart.
But no one ever hassles you. They walk through Air Force unmolested. There's no press scrutiny. You know, it's a pretty great deal.
Wow.
Well, then maybe I've chosen the wrong path.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you know, you're young. You could be on the Supreme Court.
Okay, I'll try.
Jeffrey Toobin, you mentioned that there are two or three likely vacancies to be created in the next 4 years. Who is most likely to go and why?
The conventional wisdom, and I offer that it is only that, no one really knows for sure, is that Justice O'Connor is ready to quit. She has been on the court a long time, since 1981. Her husband's not in good health. She's now in her mid-70s. A lot of people, she has spoken to friends about wanting to return to Arizona. That is definitely, I would say, the leading possibility. Chief Justice Rehnquist is the longest-serving member of the court. He's now pushing 80. He's been Chief Justice since 1986, on the Supreme Court since 1972. He's had health problems. He's a likely resignation. I think, you know, it's important to remember also that Supreme Court resignations are themselves very political.
Right.
Those two are likely to leave if Bush is reelected. If Kerry wins, I think the calculations change. The justices either implicitly or explicitly feel a certain allegiance to the party that they belong to, that appointed them, so they don't want to give a seat to the other side. The oldest justice on the court at 82 is John Paul Stevens, who was appointed by President Ford, but has become very much part of the liberal wing of the court, and he would be, I think, more likely to leave if John Kerry wins.
So now, we were just talking about the Roe versus Wade reversal possibilities. How in jeopardy is that ruling, and how, and also, is there a slippery slope going on within this legal system towards anti-abortion legislation?
Well, you know, again, it depends on who resigns from
okay.
the court, because at the moment, the last time the court straight ahead faced Roe v. Wade, they reaffirmed it by a vote of 6-3. The three votes in dissent were Chief Justice Rehnquist, Clarence Thomas, and Justice Scalia. If Rehnquist were to quit, probably wouldn't make much difference if Bush appoints his successor. When the real drama would be if Justice O'Connor quit, because Justice O'Connor has been the swing vote in so many different areas. It would take two votes at this point to switch to have Roe v. Wade overturned. But, you know, Supreme Court vacancies tend to come in bunches. And it's not in instant, immediate jeopardy, but it could be in jeopardy soon.
Now, let's imagine a worst-case scenario. Let's say Stevens quits, Ginsburg quits, O'Connor quits, and Rehnquist quits. That doesn't mean Clarence Thomas could be Chief Justice, does it?
Well, he would have to be confirmed. You know, you, just because you're on the Supreme Court, you don't get a free pass up to Chief Justice. I think, you know, the fight there would be so dramatic that I don't even think Clarence Thomas would ask for that trouble. But I think you raise a very interesting point, the whole issue of confirmation, because, you know, even lower court judges' confirmations have become so politicized, and as I know you discuss often on the program, Democrats have been wimps in many areas during the 4 years of George Bush's presidency, but not judicial appointments. They have stopped a lot of Bush's more extreme judicial appointments in, even without a majority in the Senate, by filibustering them.
Yeah.
I think you can expect that possibility with a outspoken conservative Supreme Court appointment. And, you know, just to keep it the reverse in mind, if Kerry wins, you can expect the Republicans to filibuster and stop some of his judicial appointments. So, you know, even if there are vacancies, I think it is entirely possible that no one could get confirmed for a while because this process has become so bitter and so politicized.
So what about the Patriot Act? A lot of people are concerned, myself included. What provisions of the Patriot Act will be extended if Bush wins?
Well, you know, one of the concessions that Democrats and Libertarian Republicans got during the Patriot Act fight was a sunset provision on some of the surveillance
right.
requirements.
So they run out. It runs out.
They run out, and they have to be reauthorized. The House Republicans have already tried to get some of them made permanent, and if you listen to George Bush's stump speech, that's part of his stump speech. There have also been, even as we speak, efforts to extend the government's power of surveillance, particularly as relates to immigrants. That is very much up for grabs, and regardless of who's president, there will be votes on extending the Patriot Act, and I think that's going to be
okay.
a big issue in the
All
next
right.
couple
we,
years.
Well, thanks for talking to us, Jeffrey. We really got to go. That's Jeffrey.
Appreciate
Shubin.
It.
Nice talking to you, Mark.
Okay, buddy. CNN legal analyst and writer for The New Yorker.
And I think he listens to us.
Yeah, it sounds
he
like
mentioned it.
Well, he knows Larson.
There you go. When we come back, the Presidential Daily Briefing, the liberal agenda, you on the telephones, and we talk to our friends from the Guerrilla News Network on Air America Radio.
Check. EPA says gag on this. Jeff Brook from PEER, Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, explains.
We were contacted by EPA employees that had gotten a directive that said if a reporter calls you, please refrain from answering. Don't provide them any information, including why you can't talk to them.
This is quite a reversal from tradition.
But never have they been restrained from having the conversation or answering a straight question. This is an unprecedented restraint on the specialist at EPA from providing information to the public.
This only applies to reporters.
So that suggests that what this is about is image maintenance.
It's to make sure that the agency managers are not surprised by news coverage.
The timing of this was such that they didn't want any embarrassing news stories to come out before the election.
See a copy of the gag order online at peer.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Hi, honey, I'm home.
What do you mean I'm fat?
I didn't say that.
I'm tired of your attitude. You're always putting me down.
I never said you were fat. I just got...
See? You said I was fat again.
No, you said you were fat.
Some things aren't worth debating. Some things are. Live presidential debate coverage and reaction. Friday night on Sirius Right 142, Left 143, Air America 144, and Sirius NPR Now 106.
Honey?
Shut up.
This is Earth and Sky with a question from a listener in Poughkeepsie, New York. She writes, how keen is a bird's sense of smell?
Most birds don't have a sense of smell. The part of the brain that controls smell is known as the olfactory lobe, and in birds, this part is greatly reduced. It's possible that a sense of smell withered away in birds because of the demands of flight. The process of natural selection might have favored birds with lighter brains for better aerodynamics.
For most birds, vision and hearing are the most important senses. Birds have sharp eyesight, and their eyes can dart quickly to spot food or predators. And since birds sing, they need keen hearing to detect the subtleties of songs and calls. But although most birds lack a sense of smell, there are some exceptions. For example, carrion eaters, like the turkey vulture, sniff around for their supper. And there's some evidence that certain seabirds can smell their colonies and may follow their beaks to find their breeding islands.
Since most birds have no sense of smell, there's no basis to the common belief that if you touch a baby bird, the mother won't take it back because she can tell you've handled it. This rumor was probably started by well-meaning parents. If you find a baby bird on the ground and it's healthy, go ahead, pick it up and put it back in its nest. Ask us your question at earthsky.org. With thanks to the National Science Foundation, we're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Speak out.
on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Hi, I'm Miranda from McLean, Virginia, and I just wanted to say it's time to vote. Get out there. Have your voice heard, young, old, and in between. It's time to change the nation.
This is Marsha Wallace in Greenville, South Carolina, and I'm asking everyone, please, don't let apathy and laziness interfere with your voting this November. Please learn about the issues and the candidates, and then vote your conscience.
Hey out there in the Sirius Nation, this is Tom Roberts from Wabino, Wisconsin. This year, your vote counts more than ever. We need to overlook the hatred and vote the right man into office. Get out there and vote, America.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad.
Where do you go?
When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Where do you go?
When is the right time to start talking with children about marijuana? Before they see or hear any pro-use messages or images. Before anyone their age has used it. Before anyone encourages them to try it. Before it becomes their first step towards substance abuse, school problems, health and safety risks, and illegal activity. Reality check. It's never too soon to talk to your kids about marijuana. For tips on getting started, call 1-800-729-6686.
Holy, it's 34 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. It's Mark Maron is me. You're Mark Riley.
No,
this is Morning Edition.
No,
oh my God, I'm confused. Too much coffee, M&M's, I'm coming down. You're listening to Air America Radio right now. It is time to look at the Presidential Daily Briefing, that highly classified, top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled "Cheney Becomes Shill for Soros." Mr. President. During Tuesday's vice president debate, Dick Cheney responded to an accusation by John Edwards about Halliburton by telling voters to read the truth at factcheck.com. What we told them to say was factcheck.org, which contains the party-approved lies about Halliburton. So due to his error, visitors to the website were not only exposed to uncomfortable facts about your number one campaign contributor, but were also forwarded to the website of your sworn enemy, billionaire communist George Soros. On the surface, this may seem like an innocent error, but has Dick Cheney ever done anything innocent ever? Follow the money. Who could possibly have enough dough to buy off the vice president? That's a small club, but George Soros is the president of that club. It's no leap in logic to assume that Cheney may be looking for other opportunities after your performance in last week's debates. Cheney has always looked out for number one, and lately, that's not you. Find out what his price is and double it. We'll take it out of the defense budget. The soldiers don't really need those flak jackets anyways. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. Kind of a nasty sort of a... We're going to parlay that into a very, you know, real and horrifying story about the realities of the war. We have Anthony LaPay and Stephen Marshall from GNN, Guerrilla News Network, are here. Their book is True Lies. They're premiering their film Battleground at the Mill Valley Film Festival in Marin County, California. So... go to it, San Francisco. It's a nice ride. When is it?
Saturday, 3 Saturday. O'clock.
Okay, during the day. Nice. It's probably beautiful. I used to love driving around the Bay Area. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing good. We're doing good.
So so we have a trailer for the movie. Why don't we hear that first? Can we?
This is a surreal movie. I am living a movie every day, and the whole experience is just completely surreal.
Don't expect people to come in, destroy the whole country and the whole infrastructure of the country, and build it in 6 weeks. There's no way.
The reason that we have problems is because we get no help from the sheiks and no help from the people in your community. Help me to find the attackers, the attacks will stop, and then you'll enjoy the freedoms that you want to in Iraq.
When Americans say liberation, we mean capitalism. Can you tell mothers and daughters and sisters that your sons are dying for the American way of life? Can you say that they're dying for capital goods, this and that? No, you cannot.
So all of this took, you were in Iraq, and obviously I didn't set that up properly, but that's primarily what the movie's about.
Yeah, the film is sort of a chronicle of Stephen and my journey through Iraq, three very intense weeks about a year ago. So those voices that you heard, one of those guys who was talking about his life being a surreal movie was Lieutenant Colonel Nate Sassaman, who was the former West Point quarterback who we ended up sort of getting embedded, hanging out with.
Uh-huh.
And
a lieutenant colonel said that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Very interesting.
Oh, he said a lot of things.
Yeah. this is a guy, listeners may remember this guy. He was quoted about a month later, was saying, with a heavy dose of fear and violence and a lot of money for projects, I think we can convince these people that we are here to help them.
Wow. And spoken like a true West Point quarterback.
He was classic. He was. We ended up sitting in on a meeting with him and these local sheikhs where he's trying to kind of placate them, and we walked in with our camera, and the sheikhs just kind of went off and started talking about all these detentions and, you know, the late night raids and people being held, and it was really interesting. We got to see him up close and personal trying to defend himself. And
we talked to a guy today at Dr. Barham, who's he's a Middle East specialist at the university in Haifa, and it's pronounced apparently Sheikhs. I didn't know that, and I was corrected.
Yeah, Sassaman had a great line where he was trying to get out of the meeting. This was right before Ramadan, right? And he's trying to kind of get out of the room, and they keep holding him back, and he says to him, "I'm going to be fasting for Ramadan. I hope you all be joining me. Thank you. See you later."
So now, the movie is also focuses on some of these depleted uranium stories, which you've recently there's some new revelations, I guess, about this stuff that you wanted to share with our listeners.
Yeah, in the film you can see us conducting some of these radiation tests on the ground in Iraq. We have a little a tragic update actually on this story. We talked a little bit about this last week.
Let me give a preface to that before you do, because I just want to say, we've been doing radio for the last week since we were on the show.
Okay.
It was great. And, you know, invariably we'll get a call from a U.S. soldier who will dispute in fact, I was on a show where we had one guy call, he disputed the story, and then another guy called saying he'd been working for 14 years in the field of radioactive studies and it was all a lie.
But these guys are pawns or shills.
Who knows? But, I mean, Anthony will tell you the punchline.
Let's set up the story a little bit.
Yeah.
Because some people don't know. I know Dr. Helen Caldicott is now championing this. As characterizing the Iraqi war as a nuclear war because of these uranium-tipped anti-tank bullets. Is that what they are?
Yeah.
And they're all over the place.
Oh, everywhere. The U.S., since the first Gulf War, and then again in the Balkans, has been using munitions tipped with depleted uranium, which they say is about 40% less radioactive than regular uranium. But what happens is when it explodes, sort of like uranium light.
Yeah.
When it explodes, it releases very fine, super fine radioactive particles that basically, if you don't bury the tank immediately, like 20 feet underground, it just blows into the dust. And in the Middle East, it's a little windy and dusty.
Yeah.
So it's a serious problem. The U.S. government's own studies have said that DU is a long-term health hazard, both for animals and people.
In the ways of what you're about to that chair just gets you.
He gets really excited with the story.
He gets really excited because shorter thing.
I think the DU just shrugged me a little.
I'm sorry. We've actually asked for new chairs and we've been promised a new studio, but I'm not anticipating either.
You'll have to wait for a Kerry administration.
Exactly. Yeah. But so now we have some sad confirmation in light
this,
of the.
This is a heart-wrenching story. Last week, a National Guard specialist from Harlem actually had a kid who was missing three kid fingers and part of her right hand.
Really?
And
he was tested positive.
And this is a guy who had tested positive for DU. And the tragic part about this whole story is this guy was only tested. He actually had to go to a friend of ours, Juan Gonzalez, at the Daily News.
Oh, sure.
And get the Daily News to do the testing for him because the military isn't doing the testing.
That's outrageous.
Isn't that crazy?
What?
Yeah. They put up the money. It's $1,000 a pop to get these tests done. That's just a urine test.
That's unbelievable. I can't even. So the military is completely trying to cover this up to some degree.
Well, after Juan had got a group of National Guardsmen from New Jersey, actually earlier this summer, had come back complaining of symptoms that were consistent with DU poisoning. And
what are those symptoms?
These guys were getting migraine headaches, blurred vision, blackouts, swelling in their faces.
Is there any possibility this could be connected to the original Gulf War syndrome?
Well, they now call it Gulf War illnesses. It's sort of an umbrella term, and we actually have in the book, we both look at DU and the anthrax vaccine as potential culprits for what they're calling Gulf War illness. It's sort of an umbrella term now. They don't really know.
There's even Balkans, the Balkan illnesses,
right,
which come out of the Bosnian War.
Right. Are they symptomatically similar?
Well, that's why people think that DU is the culprit. Some people do, because there's similar things to the Balkan, that European soldiers were suffering in the Balkans, where DU was used it's the same thing as the guys were suffering from the first Gulf War, and they weren't getting, for instance, the anthrax vaccine.
How long could that take, too? Because just judging by Agent Orange, just how long it took for those guys to get any attention whatsoever.
And it just adds to that. I mean, just, again, one of the issues we get in our book is it's a blackout that occurs in American mainstream media and why that occurs. And this is a story that's covered to a great degree in European press. If you were to go into the Guardian or the BBC websites, you'll see it is covered. In America, it's almost not covered at all. And you have to ask the question, why is that?
Now, are you saying that the military, because you mentioned earlier that when you've been on other shows, people have called up to debunk this whole story. Are you saying that the military planted those people, or are those just soldiers that disagree?
I do not know that, but when you talk to DU activists, they tell you that the military does have guys going around trying to debunk this.
What's some calls from plants? If you're a military plant, bring it on.
I don't think you need the plants, because they're drinking their own Kool-Aid here. I mean, these soldiers have a vest. They're terrified. I mean, the idea of them accepting it, what we're saying is true, is so intense that they have to almost take in the denial.
It's also the argument at the core of the Vietnam veterans, the ones who were loyal no matter what, and the ones who fought the war. I mean, it's something that happens because of loyalty oaths.
Sure.
Well, 866-303-2270, either side of this, if you have any information or you want to talk to these guys from the Guerrilla News Network, Anthony or Stephen, call us up right now. It's 44 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka. It knows no big threat.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
That's right. Yippee! I'm going on TV.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
Mysterious.
Now serving for the match, it's Jimmy Wang. Serves to Lee. Wang. Lee. Backhand by Wang. Lee. Wang, with a tremendous forehand, wins the World Series of Ping Pong. There's the World Series, and then there's the World Series. The season wraps up. For some, it's going to be a long, cold winter, but one team will call themselves world champs. The season wraps up on ESPN Radio, Sirius 120. Go to Sirius.com for the game broadcast schedule.
Has someone offended you? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. If a family member, friend, coworker, or even a boss has said or done something to upset you, what should you do? Tell other people? Well, no. You need to go to that person and gently let them know how they've hurt you. If they don't respond, bring along one or two other people and approach them again. In doing all this, be sure you're coming to them with clean hands, without any grudges of your own. When you work for unity in your relationships, you'll be amazed at the results. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
This is Doug from New Jersey. I'll be voting for George W. Bush for re-election. I believe he has the resolve, the experience, the understanding, and he has the vision to keep this country safe from future attacks. There is no more important issue facing this country than national security. And I encourage everyone to cast a vote regardless of the candidate of your choice. Thank you.
Hi, this is Eric from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I'm going to be voting for John Kerry this November 2nd. And I want to encourage people not to just go out and vote, but also get involved with the campaign. And whichever side you're on, go out and mobilize your base, and this is going to be the closest election, so everybody has to get involved.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
In today's world, all voices must be heard. That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference, too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
I swear, I feel like I'm going to sneeze and yawn at the same time. What did that be? A big payoff.
Your back will go out.
Wow. All right, Anthony LaPay, Stephen Marshall are in studio here from the Guerrilla News Network. Their new book is called True Lies. Their film, Battleground, is premiering at the Mill Valley Film Festival this Saturday at 3 in the afternoon. The website is gnn.tv. We're taking your calls. We're talking about depleted uranium illness, the military, why the cover-up, obviously because it serves them. Nick in New Jersey.
Hey, Nick.
Good morning.
How are you?
I want to pick up on...
We're losing you, Nick. Sorry, buddy. That didn't work out. I guess he's on a cell phone or underwater.
Sounds like he's on a cell phone.
Jerry, how are you? The trucker.
Hey, Jerry.
Good morning.
What's up?
You guys are almost as good as a cup of coffee in the morning. I try and catch you every morning if I can.
Thanks a lot, man.
Two questions about this depleted uranium. First of all, what is it? I mean, I understand what the words mean, but what, as a substance, what is it? Where does it come from? And secondly, what psychopath or group of psychopaths thought this would be a good idea to skip ammunition rounds with a radioactive substance, even if it's a mildly radioactive substance? I mean, that's very strange to me.
Okay, yeah, well, a good question, Jerry.
Answer number two would be our military leaders.
Right.
Answer to number one is depleted uranium is a byproduct of the nuclear power industry, and what they do is they create basically an alloy with DU. The reason why they use DU is because it's about 1.7 times more dense than lead. So bullets and and shells tipped with this literally sliced through steel like butter. We saw tanks with holes in them, like clean round holes, like you stick your finger through a piece of clay. You know, that's what it looks like.
Really?
So it's an incredible tactical advantage for the Americans.
So what happened is that the people that create nuclear power or nuclear arms, they saw this great opportunity and stuff that they have a hard time throwing out anyway.
Well, it's a recycling program.
Exactly.
The military does recycle, but it's nuclear waste.
Yeah. Please, come help the end of the world.
I got recycle a quote from Bob Dole from 1978, who says, they seem to have chosen this material for bullets because uranium metal is dense and because DU is cheap. Needless to say, I find this proposal shocking.
Yeah,
it's Bob Dole.
Yeah. I wonder how much they're making. I mean, I wonder how much the nuclear industry.
The military's been buying it.
Well, they also remember, and Anthony, they also use it in our tank armor.
Yeah.
So I mean, it works two ways. It goes through their tanks, and bullets bounce off ours. So it's,
really,
yeah.
But while the soldiers inside get sick,
that's been
what activists told me. What they it's called backloading casualties. You know, we don't get the casualties on the ground immediate, but, you know, 10 years down the line, it's the same thing. I mean, really, we draw the analogy to Agent Orange. It's very similar.
So we got a guy in Minnesota who was in the military. Blaine, how are you?
Hi, Blaine.
Hey, good morning.
What military, of the military were you in, sir?
I was in the 3rd Infantry Division.
Uh-huh.
I was actually one of the units first in the Baghdad.
Okay.
And actually, one of our tanks was hit by a Iraqi RPG round.
Yeah.
And we had it destroyed in place because we couldn't put the fire out.
Wow.
If you watch Fox News, you would have actually seen it. And that tank was considered hot because of the uranium that was used to take the tank out. Because we had to blow the tank through by...
With one of your own shells.
Also by... basically by our own close air support.
Huh.
Yeah,
wow.
The A-10 Warthog uses DU shells, too.
Exactly. The A-10 uses their main cannon is DU, and also the Bradley Bushmaster is a 20-millimeter. That fires a Sabo round, as well as the M1 tank, which fires a 120-millimeter Sabo.
Wait a minute, let me get this straight. Are you saying that they use this for, like, tank suicides or something?
No.
No, what happened was we did not want the enemy to get hold of our tank.
Uh-huh.
And so we destroyed our tank. But since the armor is DU, when we went to recover it after we took Baghdad, we actually had to send our chemical NBC staff in there with Geiger counters to make sure that there was not a threat. And it was a hot zone.
Uh-huh. Let me ask a question. I mean, how did you guys, your crew, your team know, or were you aware of the dangers? What was your perception of DU that time when you were in Baghdad?
Well, I was on the battalion staff of one of the tank battalions. And a discussion came out after we were in the city for a while that they wanted to start doing maintenance on the tanks. And the word came out, do not put your hands or anything inside the barrels of the M1 tanks.
But that was that it, though, or did they say why?
Because of the DU.
Okay.
Wow. So there was some awareness.
Yes.
How's your health, okay?
Yeah, I'm fine so far.
Well, thanks for your call, Blaine.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Blaine.
Wow, that's pretty intense. So,
but you know, that's kind of like, you know, don't put your hand over a fire. For some reason, you know, don't put your hand down. The thing may not have been a strong enough warning, maybe?
Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is, if what you're saying is true and that this stuff is blowing around, and depending on how dense the battle was or how much destruction there was on any particular site, it could enter the atmosphere and disperse very, very efficiently.
And Anthony's point, too, I mean, you know, because it's a small, fine superdust, I mean, once that's in your body, I don't care how minimal it is, the radioactivity, the atomic particles, they're now interacting with your body. And I think this recent story of this young girl that's been born without fingers, I mean, that's the horrifying thing. And we don't know the echo effect, the boomerang effect it's going to have on the health of our soldiers.
Yeah. Certainly on the culture of Iraq. Let's take one more call here. Chris, how are you, Chris?
Good morning, Chris.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
Very well. What's up?
Well, I just kind of wanted to know, I'm listening to your program here out here in California. My son came back from Iraq. Actually, they sent him in the middle of July, and he was bleeding all over the place, and then they said that he had a severe case of psoriasis, but it doesn't look anything like psoriasis. Then they put him in treatment for 4 months, send him back again, and now he's on medical discharge. But I'm wondering, does the DU have anything to do with a skin problem?
Well, I'm not a doctor, so I do not want to pretend like I'm an expert on this. But there have been, well, it's one of the symptoms that they say if the skin problems can be, part of it. This guy from the National Guard unit in Harlem was having swelling, and so. But
the reality, the thing is, as you've learned, it's such a difficult case because the way it metamorphosizes in the body, there's all these different symptoms. There is no clear science in this, and that's the scary part. The Pentagon needs to at least dedicate, a couple of million dollars, you could think, of their entire multi-billion dollar budget to this study. And, ma'am, I think the best you can do is try and get an independent source to take a look at your son.
Yeah, Chris, and be aware of this and bring it up when you can with them.
And the trick, though, is to really make sure you get an independent, to go to some of these groups.
This sounds worse than Agent Orange.
Oh, my God. Wow. How do we lighten up here?
Yeah.
Hey, Martha Stewart is in prison.
Hey.
That's not funny, but I mean, it's lighter. Maybe there's degrees of whiteness. So are you guys flying out to the Bay Area?
Yeah, we're heading out there. We'll be out there signing books.
And do you think, how have you guys been, have you previewed it at all anywhere?
Yeah, we had screenings, especially, we actually completed the film in New York. We had a lot of backing here, get it done. And so this is our first major screening.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
I want to thank you guys for joining us. That
Thanks
was Anthony LaPace, Stephen Marshall from the Guerrilla News Network, GNN.TV. The book is True Lies. And the film is Battleground. There's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Write these down, kids. One, figure out way to smuggle shiny object into debate hall as a way to distract Bush. Nothing. Two, send care package of amphetamines to keep Iraqi insurgents alert on the job. Call the Hell's Angels. Nothing. Three, call debate moderator Charles Gibson. Suggests that instead of a final question, the candidates should compete in a poetry slam about the NAFTA trade agreement. That could work, right? Four, develop a new fragrance for men. Fahrenheit by Michael Moore. It smells like conspiracy. Okay. Today's phrase, just drop it in the conversation. Why are they wasting their time looking for weapons of mass destruction? We had an entire alien colony living in Area 51 since 1949. Why don't they report that, man?
Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, we're going to preview round two of Kerry versus Bush. Tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. Have a good one, Marin.
Me too, Riley.